Air America Radio News, I'm Bill Crowley. If the White House keeps refusing to explain its secret domestic wiretapping program, the money for it may be cut off. Senate Judiciary Committee Chairman Republican Arlen Specter says he is considering legislation to do just that unless the Bush administration starts providing some satisfactory answers about spying on people in America. Specter told his committee that George Bush, quote, is walking all over Congress at the moment. Specter said he's told Bush about his intention and that he has attracted several potential co-sponsors for a bill to cut off funding for the National Security Agency program. Specter says he has become increasingly frustrated trying to get information about the program from senior White House officials at public hearings. The charges against Scooter Libby will go forward. A federal judge in Washington has turned down a motion from Lewis Scooter Libby's lawyers, which challenged special counsel Patrick Fitzgerald's power to handle the case. Dick Cheney's former chief of staff, Lewis Libby, indicted on perjury and obstruction charges last year in the CIA leak case. Libby's lawyers had argued Fitzgerald was given too much power and his appointment should have been made by George Bush with the Senate's approval. But in his ruling, U.S. District Judge Reggie Walton said he didn't need to look far in the law to dismiss that claim. Then Attorney General John Ashcroft had recused himself from the investigation because of his ties to the White House, and the Deputy Attorney General appointed Fitzgerald and gave him the wide authority to investigate the CIA leak case. FEMA is supposed to handle emergency preparedness and response, but Democratic Senator Joe Lieberman says the agency failed on both counts after Hurricane Katrina, with deadly results, and he says it should be abolished. The recommendation to scrap what a final report calls a symbol of bumbling bureaucracy tops the slate of recommendations from the senators who spent 7 months investigating the storm response. Republican Senator Susan Collins says with Katrina, the government failed its first obligation to protect people. A Johns Hopkins University doctor says there's no good data on how effective masks are at preventing flu. The Institute of Medicine says face masks should therefore be considered a last line of defense if there's a worldwide outbreak of the bird flu or any other dangerous strain of disease. This is Air America Radio News. I'm Bill Crowley.
Hi, and welcome to the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio Network. I'm John Elliott, sitting in for Mike tonight. I'm very happy to be doing so. You know, there's no place else I'd rather be than talking to you tonight. You know why? Because you're important. Because you count. Because you care. Because you're intelligent, you're informed, and you know what America should be. And because you know what it isn't, with the Bush regime forcing and enforcing their doctrine not only on you and me, but on our country and our world. And because you know what America can be again, and because you're willing to do your part to take our country back, our America. So hello and welcome. I will be here with you, talking with you for the next 3 hours, and with our guests tonight. Great guests. As we know, that Bush went down to the Gulf Coast today to make another impromptu shot at repairing Katrina. It's just this show, you know, he's wielding a hammer up there, sort of driving a nail into the wall. Yeah, right. Trying to build homes. We're going to have a young lady on that I want to introduce to you. Her name is Sholene Espinoza. She's remarkable. She'll be on later with this hour. She is one of two women certified to fly the U-2 spy plane. Give you an idea of what that means. You alone in a plane by yourself, 70,000 feet in the dark over enemy territory. And if something goes wrong, eat this quickly. And so she did that and is a distinguished flyer in the United States military, served as a military correspondent embedded in Iraq, came back and was completely disillusioned with what she saw as the military plan in Iraq. Came back and she saw Katrina. And she thought, you know, I saw that over there with the war, and now I'm seeing this in the time of peace, and we've got a government that can't wage a war properly, can't win the peace, and now we've got a government that can't even take care of our people here. So she jumped in a truck, did a U-Haul, a 70-foot U-Haul, drove it down to the Gulf Coast full of supplies. Next thing you know, she's doing what Bush was doing today, only for real. She was doing carpentry. She was putting up drywall. She had a cultural experience. She had an epiphany and said, this is what I want to do. She bought a piece of land in Passe Christiane, Mississippi, which is just east of the New Orleans, where New Orleans, Louisiana, Mississippi border, just inside of Mississippi. And she set out to raise money to build a community center for these people that had everything destroyed. They lost everything. Of course, the focus of the world was on New Orleans and the Ninth Ward and levees breaking, and that is a tragedy. But there was not a lot being done to the people in Mississippi, despite the fact they have a Republican governor in Haley Barbour, and despite the fact they have two Republican senators in Lott and the other guy, Thad Cochran, and they just didn't do too much, did they? So she jumped in there and started to do something. She needs to raise $1 million. She's a third of the way there. And she's written this marvelous book, and it's called Through the Eye of the Storm. And 100% of the proceeds from this is going right to her fund to rebuild this, to build up this. So, I mean, she's going to be with us. And later on in the broadcast, award-winning television and motion picture producer Robert Greenwald, who has, by my count, produced and or directed over 90 films, telefilms, motion pictures, dating back to the mid-70s. He started on our side politically, got the political bug, and in 2000, after the 2000 election, he came out with Unprecedented, which was an expose of the 2000 presidential election. That was followed by Uncovered, which was a biting film on the war in Iraq, which came out in 2004, and then Outfoxed, which, of course, Fox really loved. It was Rupert Murdoch's War on Journalism. And then he did, last year, he did Walmart, The High Cost of Low Prices. And he's got a new one that we're going to be talking about. It's going to be coming out in about a month. The Big Buy, How Tom DeLay Stole Congress. So Robert Greenwald will be here talking about that a little bit later on. But I have to tell you, you know, where are you tonight in this great land? Wherever you're listening on Air America affiliates in both red and blue states throughout this country, or on XM satellite radio, or if you're listening to me throughout the world on the internet, I am very glad you're here. What are you doing tonight? Where are you? In your car? At work? One of my listeners here in at my San Diego station, which is my home. I do the weekend shows noon to 2 on Pacific time on Saturdays and Sundays here on KLSD. One of my listeners here in San Diego told me that she goes to sleep with Mike every night. So since I'm filling in for Mike, you decide. Let me introduce myself. I'm John Elliott. And I have a website. If you'd like to chat with us live while we're on the air, you can go to johnelliottshow.com. That's J-O-N, no H in John, Elliott, two L's, two T's, show.com. And scroll down, you see a chat button. Click on that, and our webmaster, Nathan, will be there to chat with you. And we'll relay the messages right here, and we'll start talking with you back and forth on the air. Or you can call us at 866-303-2270. I am viewed by some, especially on the right, as the most dangerous liberal in America. And I'm really quite proud of that. Now, why am I a dangerous liberal, you ask? Well, it's because I see things that make the right wing froth. Here's an example. You know how the Bush cabalists told us since 9/11 that they are the ones to keep us safe from terrorists because they understand what's needed and how to keep us safe, and that the Democrats don't? You know how they've pushed that line over and over? Be afraid, be very afraid. The terrorists are out there lurking, planning to attack you because they hate Americans, because they hate who we are. No, they don't. They don't hate who we are. They hate what we do. But America is told that they can keep us safe. We can win the war on terrorism. Really, George? How's it going so far? How's the war on poverty going? How's the war on drugs going? The wars they're waging are really just the war in Iraq. Oh, and there's another war. The war on the middle class. Oh, and there's another war. The war on Americans' rights. The right to choose. The right to die. The right to live in a free society. The right not to have your phones tapped, not only without you knowing it, without any oversight from the courts via a warrant, which, oh, by the way, was mandated by Congress. Call me up on that one, will you? Get me started on citizens' rights, your rights, Americans' rights. So as I was saying, the Bush crowd runs on one platform, terrorism. So here's my question to the Bush cabal. Remember Richard Clark, former counterterrorism czar in the Bush White House, and, of course, in the Clinton White House before that? He is the highest-ranking official in the land on terrorism and counterterrorism. He was a cabinet-level position in the Clinton administration. But, he was demoted and reduced from a cabinet-level position in Bush's administration to a much lesser position. That's when the right wing starts to froth, because they start to foam. They don't have anything to say because there's nothing for them to say. What can they say? Here's what they can say. We demoted the most experienced, most knowledgeable terrorism expert in the United States because we didn't believe we needed him, because we didn't believe we're susceptible to terrorism and attack in America. So tell me again, neocons, how you take terrorism seriously. Or is it true that you only took it seriously after something went wrong, went terribly wrong like 9/11, despite all the warnings, despite the August 6, 2001 presidential daily brief that was titled Bin Laden Determined to Attack Inside the United States? Remember that? You demoted the guy who was ringing the bell. You demoted the guy who was running around, as he said, quote, with hair on fire urgency, telling anyone in the administration who would listen that grave danger was coming soon. You ignored the man who sounded the siren. You took away Paul Revere's horse. You made it impossible for his voice to be heard. And then you have the nerve to tell us, to tell America, that you're the gang that understands terrorism and what you can do to keep America safe? Well, they tried to sell you that, didn't they? But you didn't believe them. You're too smart for them. You knew they were warned. You knew they didn't listen. And people died. And people are still dying. And people will continue to die, all because of the hubris of this administration. And the most despicable part is they don't care. They don't care who goes and fights and dies in some far-off nation in the sand, because it's not their sons and daughters. It's not their wives, not their husbands, not their brothers and sisters, because the simple truth is they don't fight. They don't enlist. They are not enlisting in this war the same way they didn't enlist in the last disastrous war. Not only don't they enlist, they don't serve when called. They didn't answer the bell. They avoided the draft. Bush, Cheney, Frist, DeLay, Hastert, Libby, Rove. They didn't go. They took no risks. They made no sacrifice. They didn't need to. You know why? Because you did. You and your fathers and sons and uncles and wives and mothers, you sacrificed then, and you're still sacrificing today. Maybe you know someone who's in Iraq, someone brave, someone who may not come back, or maybe someone who didn't come back. Or maybe you're suffering the over $3 a gallon price of gas. Or maybe you're suffering because you lost your job. Or maybe you need to work two or even three jobs just to make ends meet. Or maybe you don't have health insurance. Ah, there's just a few of you with that position, huh? Just about 45 million of you and your fellow Americans. Tax-paying, honest, hardworking Americans facing the uncertainty of a catastrophic illness. A catastrophic illness away from bankruptcy? Oh, I'm sorry. You can't go bankrupt anymore. It's just the Enrons and the MCI WorldComs that can go bankrupt. They, the Republicans, saw to that. That's suffering. So what are you going to do about it? You and me? Well, I'm on the air to win elections. I speak to groups because I want to win the next election. I know you want to help win the next election. At least I think you do. What are you doing to Help take your country back. Take it back from that fossil fuel, war-loving tax reductions only for the wealthy, anti-abortion, religious freak conservatives. It's time they paid, and it's time they contribute to the America we know and love and want back. Are you active? Are you getting active? Are you ready to do something? Call me and tell me what you're doing. 866-303-2270. This is John Elliott on the Air America Radio Network, sitting in for Mike Malloy. I'll be right back.
Listening to the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Hi, I'm David Orrick. One of the best things about getting an 8-pound Orrick XL vacuum is what you don't get, namely, a cloud of dust in your face every time you turn it on or when you empty it. Which means you won't get a house full of bacteria that travels on dust. Call 1-800-989-4200 for free literature or a free 30-day home trial. You'll breathe easier knowing it's an Orrick XL. 1-800-989-4200.
Ooh, are you okay?
Oh, it's my arthritis pain.
Here, try my Aleve.
People with arthritis are sharing their good news about Aleve. Just two Aleve have the strength to stop arthritis pain all day. That would take 8 extra strength Tylenol. So try Aleve and see for yourself. Then share your good news. Comparison based on 24-hour label dosing. Use as directed for minor arthritis pain.
May is Arthritis Month. Join Aleve and the Arthritis Foundation for the annual Arthritis Walk taking place nationwide. For more information, visit AleveGoodNews.com.
Hi, welcome back. It's John Elliott sitting in for Mike Malloy. How are you tonight? Now, I told you I'm a liberal. Some people prefer progressive. That's fine, but I am a liberal, and I'm proud of it. Now, when you think of liberal, quote, liberal, it has some nice bloodlines here, doesn't it? Liberal, liberty. The very foundation of America, no? Liberty, our freedom. Liberty. Liberty and justice for all. Liberal, liberty. Liberal, liberate. Liberate. Like what Bush told us our purpose was for going to war. Well, reason number six. Or was it reason number eight? We're going to liberate the people of Iraq. Liberate them from the clutches of Saddam Hussein. We're going to give them liberty, freedom, just like America. How's that working out? No, excuse me. I'm sorry. I was talking words here. I'm a liberal. Liberal, liberty, liberate. All about the same, isn't it? Now take a look at the other side, the dark side of politics, the mean side, the conservative side. We looked at the word liberal, boys and girls, and now let's look at the word conservative. Conservative, con, pro and con against. Like constipated, contaminated, conservative, convoluted, contrary. These are nice words, aren't they? Confused, conflicted. Condemn, contagious, conceal, concave, hollow, like no child left behind, like the Clean Air Act, like the Healthy Forest Initiative, convicted, as in felon, as in Congressman Duke Cunning scam, convicted, what the future holds for such conservatives as Tom DeLay, Ken Lay, DeLay, Lay, Lay, DeLay. Jack Abramoff, Michael Scanlon, David Safavian, Scooter Libby. Condom. Speaking of condom, the conservative Right to Life had their annual awards ceremony in Washington, D.C. yesterday. And guess who they honored as their man of the year? Henry Hyde. Congressman Henry Hyde, who for years was able to hide his affair with another woman that resulted in her marriage being destroyed and a family broken up. Just another notch in the gun for the family values crowd. The conservatives. Oh, did I mention that he had her on his congressional payroll? She had the type of position, well, perhaps many positions. One never really knows, does one? The type of position that required her to work only with Henry. Simply stated, Henry Hyde hit his whore. And when confronted with the news of his secret sex affair, Henry Hyde, in his 70s at the time, called it nothing more than a youthful discretion from many, many years ago. Yeah, well, it happened in his 40s. Old enough to know better, wouldn't you think? Called it a youthful indiscretion. Now, here's my two questions for the Right to Life's Man of the Year. Congressman Henry Hyde, question one. Did you use a condom all those years you were cheating on your wife? Kind of flouted the abstinence stance your fellow conservatives are floating out there, didn't you? Question number two. Henry, what would have happened if your mistress got pregnant? Would you have insisted she had an abortion? Mr. Right to Life's Man of the Year. Or would you have encouraged her to have the child? Maybe put him or her on the congressional payroll. A 3-year-old staff person deals with little people issues. I bet Henry Hyde would have insisted she had an abortion. Did the Right to Life zealots ask you these questions as a precursor to you being named Man of the Year, Henry? Condom. Conservative. Condom. Abstinence. Abortion. The troika, Henry. And speaking of conservatives, condoms, abstinence, and abortion, how about that monkey business sailor, Donna Rice? The woman on the boat was Senator Gary Hart. Well, now Donna Rice is Donna Rice Hughes and appears at Christian Reich events. She's a reformed woman, this Mary Magdalene of the Christian Reich. I have two questions for the affairee. Same two. Did you use a condom? And would you have had an abortion? I'm guessing the same answers. But, you know, I have to tell you, isn't it amazing how these sinners have this epiphany in their life? Usually when they're caught on their secret, and their secret becomes public. And then they suddenly find Jesus. George Bush starts snorting coke, stops drinking, and finds Jesus. Tom DeLay forgets his life living in Macho Manor in Austin when he was known to all the boys and girls as Hot Tub Tom, and trades his 12 martinis every night for a glass of red wine and finds Jesus. All is forgiven for these people. Wreck a marriage, become man of the year. The good news is Henry Hyde is going into Hyde-tirement. He's done as a congressman. And one of the fighting Dems, Tammy Duckworth, is going to take that district in Illinois for the Dems. Now, you know about the Fighting Dems, don't you? It's an organization started by the Democrats to recognize that in the military, not everybody is a Republican. I participated in a conference call about 3 weeks ago with Howard Dean, General Wesley Clark, and Don Fowler, who was a former chairman of the DNC, and they announced that the formation of this Fighting Dems was coming up. There's 56 or so veterans running for Congress this year. 50 of them are Dems. Wonder why. For years, the military has represented the veterans who served and fought in wars. You know, I mean, Bob Dole from World War II was in the Congress. Senators Kerry and McCain from the Vietnam era. But there's nobody in Congress who served in Iraq or Afghanistan, and there should be. These bastards start the war, they give death and destruction names like Shock and Awe, Operation Iraqi Freedom, and then they never go. Same number of Iraqi and Afghani vets in the Republican-controlled House and Senate as the same number of Republican African-Americans in the House and Senate. Zero. So they send the troops off to fight and kill in the sand. Isn't that despicable? It's John Elliott sitting in for Mike Malloy. I'll be right back. Don't go away. I've got a great guest coming right up.
And I'm taking my country back. Son, you ain't been doing her right.
This is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Jen, what's up?
Hey, how'd you know I was having a party?
Everyone knows you're having a party.
Yeah, pretty crazy, isn't it?
Totally.
Hey, I'm gonna smoke up. Wanna get high? Here, you'll like this.
This is the moment your guidance can prevent your teen from smoking marijuana. So visit theantidrug.com and learn how to set clear rules about drugs. Parents, the anti-drug. Sponsored by the ONDCP and the Partnership for a Drug-Free America.
Hey, Truth Seekers, Mike Malloy here, and you can hear me, of course, on Air America Radio. If you're as fed up with the Bush crime family as I am, you need to go to ImpeachBushGame.com. That's ImpeachBushGame.com, where you can get the new board game, Impeached, that points out the lies, incompetence, and stupidity of George W. and the entire Bush crime family. You'll have fun playing this eye-opening board game that dares to peek into the Bush administration. Impeached will challenge your ability to lie, cheat, and steal. I'm for real here. Order your game now at ImpeachBushGame.com.
Whether you have health insurance or not, chances are you don't have dental or vision coverage. But now, with the Optimum Health Discount Card, you and your family can get substantial savings of up to 60% off every time you visit your dentist or eye care professional. Because this is not insurance, everyone is accepted, even if you or your family members have pre-existing conditions. For only $9.95 a month, you, your spouse, and your children are all covered. Your membership includes access to our combined nationwide network of over 75,000 participating dentists and eye care professionals. Call right now and we'll also include for free the RX Saver discount prescription card. The RX Saver is accepted in most pharmacies nationwide and provides savings of up to 60% off most medications. Call our toll-free number now at 1-866-333-3000. That's 1-866-333-3000. Use the Optimum Health discount card risk-free for 30 days and start saving now on all of your dental and vision care needs. Call 1-866-333-3000. Again, 1-866-333-3000.
Welcome back to the Mike Malloy Show. It's John Elliott. How are you? 34 minutes after the hour, 34 minutes after 7 West Coast time, 34 minutes after 10 West East Coast time, in 1972 if you're living in Kansas. I told you I have a great guest for you. Young lady I met last week. Was it really last week? Maybe it might have been the week before. Sholene Espinoza. One of two women ever qualified to fly the U-2 spy plane. A decorated pilot. Flew it alone at night in the dark. 70,000 feet in the air. Single person in the plane. And then became a military correspondent during the Iraqi war. Came back, was completely disillusioned with what she saw. And came back to see Katrina. And decided to do something about it for her fellow man. She couldn't believe that the country was treating exactly the same way domestically as they did in the war. And so she and her partner jumped in a 17-foot trailer and started to head south to Mississippi. Sholene, how are you? Welcome to the program. How are you doing?
Thank you, John. I'm doing great.
That's good. So you pick up this truck, you get a 17-foot truck, and you pack it with all sorts of good stuff, and you start heading down. And what did you find?
It looked worse than anything I'd ever seen. I mean, it was almost like a lawnmower had mowed down all the trees, and the people themselves were without really anything. They were sifting through old clothes and parking lots that looked like frying pans and felt like frying pans to try to clothe their families. But at the same time, they had this amazing sense of hope and community and resilience, and that's what really inspired me to write this book and dedicate the proceeds to them to build a community center down in Pass Christian, Mississippi.
Now, for our listeners that may not be familiar geographically, Pass Christian is just across the border from Louisiana into Mississippi, adjacent to Bay St. Louis. It was an area that my wife and I were familiar with. We used to love that part of the Gulf Coast in the sense that you had all these antebellum mansions. You had these great long driveways with magnolia trees lining the driveway on either side, these white mansions with the pillars at the end. And that's where the very wealthy plantation owners in Mississippi used to summer. They would come down, and because this is the pre-air-conditioned days, they would come down, and they would sit along the coast and let the soft breeze of the Gulf of Mexico blow in. And it wasn't much of a soft breeze that blew in, was it? Pass Christian and Bay St. Louis really got hit, even more so than New Orleans, right?
Yes, in fact, that's really where the eye of the storm hit in Pass Christian. And then, of course, this community was not wealthy, but working Americans. The median income around $35,000, $37,000. But somehow with that, they were able to buy homes and pay insurance and educate their kids. And even far inland, a few miles inland, was totally destroyed with water, up to 4 feet of water in one neighborhood, in particular in Gulfport. Never had any kind of water like that in any storms, and the entire neighborhood of Forest Heights, named after the civil rights leader Dorothy Hyde, was completely destroyed.
We met by accident, actually. I do for our listeners, I do a weekly, every Wednesday, appearance on Fox out here on the local Fox affiliate, where I absolutely totally pummel the guy from the right-wing radio, from Radio Rushbaugh, and I just get great sport. It gets my adrenaline going for midweek. It gets me over hump day. And I was waiting in the green room, and I came in and said hi, and this lady said hi to me, and she was Sholene, and I said, hi, I'm John. And then we went on, and as we're waiting for it to warm up, there's the book, Through the Eye of the Storm, was on the desk of the host, and I said, oh, my God, that's Sholene Espinoza. I'm going to be talking to her this weekend. And it was just so great to meet you and to hear your story. And this book is phenomenal. And you know, you need about $1 million. You've raised about a third of it already. And tell me a little bit about the book, because you had a bit of a spiritual awakening, too, didn't you?
Yes, and as you indicated, John, I had lost my faith not only in two of my great loves in life, my God and my country, and really it was sort of a chain of events, I guess you would say. I deeply loved the U.S. military. That was my conduit to the American dream, and it was a pleasure and privilege to be with the U.S. Marine Corps during the invasion. But at the same time, you realize that, in fact, war is hell, but hopefully the ends justify the means somehow. And just in general with regard to the difficulty that our U.S. troops have encountered, as well as the significant toll that it's taken, not only casualty-wise, but just in day-to-day life in the Iraqi people, I went back during the Reconstruction, and I could just see that this was clearly not going to be something that was going to improve their lives at the short term anyway. And it seemed like we weren't investing in the long term to really make lasting changes for these people. people, for the Iraqi people. At the same time, God had sort of been somewhat of a soundbite in being pulled one direction or the other, a holy war of sorts. And I had kind of just resigned and disengaged and gone back to flying my commercial airline or airplanes. And then Katrina came in, sort of blew me off my feet and felt compelled to act. And it was really out of this sense of community and giving to others that my own sort of pain was transcended and disillusionment. And I found a new mission, which is to build a new future for these young adults and kids in the Katrina-ravaged area of Mississippi.
How were you received down there? And we should tell our listeners that you are gay. Woman, and from the north, driving down, and you don't have the y'all accent, and you aren't from the redneck Riviera. And how were you received?
Well, it's funny. Ellen was joking that when we were heading down there, because it was a little.
And Ellen's your partner.
Ellen's my partner, yes. And about how we're sort of the new version of guess who's coming to dinner, you know, in this red state. But at the same time, how we were received was just you've blessed us so much by coming. And I think that really when you get your hands dirty, roll up your sleeves, and you show compassion, and people realize that, you know what, we're not that different. We're really fundamentally part of the same human family, and the sort of polarized issues that our nation faces day in, day out really take a back seat to what's important, which is taking care of each other first.
Now, you told me that the motto of the U2, which we mentioned as a crew of one, the motto of the U2 is toward the unknown, and that's certainly what you did when you went down there, and it looked, I guess if you describe what the hell an unknown would look like, that's what Pastor Christiane looked like when you got there.
That's right, and I think that's hard for people to understand is that it's really still that way. John, we were down there just 3 weeks ago doing some more work, and not much has changed. I mean, certainly landscape's littered with FEMA trailers now, but this is not a long-term solution, and really the institutions that these folks had invested in, not only their tax dollars, but also their insurance premiums have essentially not paid them, and it's still stuck. We have a lot of government money going out down there, and we talk about this a lot with the people down there, but you know, they're such troopers that they just need the materials to rebuild, and they're not interested in blaming people, but at the same time, I feel like I've got to try to continue to build awareness and this community center at the same time.
Now, a couple of things have happened today. One is that the report was came out on the Senate where they're saying it's an 800-page report, supposedly a bipartisan report on the Katrina thing. And what they want to do is they want to abolish FEMA. And, I mean, FEMA, and I'll probably talk about it a little later on in this program, FEMA worked very well when James Lee Witt was running it, but didn't seem to work very well in under heck of a job, Brownie. And I have to say that, you know, if FEMA goes away, from what you've seen down there, will it make a difference? I mean, are they not doing anything anyway? Or if it goes away, something else could take its place and maybe do it better? What's your thoughts?
Well, big picture-wise, I think the short answer is that you have to give the resources and empower the local, the lowest common denominator, just like in a war. And the Marines I was with didn't have Kevlar plates until a few days into the war. And when I went back to their families, you know, with tears in their eyes, their family members asked if they ever got them. And I said, yes, and magically, in the middle of the war, those Kevlar plates arrived. And the thing is, you've got to empower these little cities and towns and large cities and towns. And what happens now is it's really a corporate welfare program handed out from a very highly centralized contract area type of a scheme, if you will, where most of still 50% of the contracts are no bid, and to this day it violates every rule of disaster assistance in terms of not empowering the local businesses. So I think that FEMA, I don't know if we need a new org chart or 800 more pages of government hearings. We need leadership, and it's really that people on the ground are not empowered to make decisions. That's why nothing happens down there. It's all done from sort of this centralized level in Washington. I think a lot of that is, you know, controlling the message, and they don't really want to empower local people as much as they talk about it, because money is oxygen, and they're not giving money to the local cities and counties. They are broke. They can't help with the community center, and they can't certainly help rebuild their communities without this money.
So we have to do it, and we in this particular case is you. You kind of have our nation's proxy to go in there, you and your partner, raise $1 million and build a community center. But I understand you're not completely alone, because the President of the United States made an appearance in the Gulf area today doing what we refer to as an imitation of Sholin Espinosa, rolling up his sleeves and grabbing a hammer and actually hammering a nail into a piece of wood. But tell us about the experience. You encountered him before in the sense of his motorcade, right?
Yes, well, he visited, President Bush visited the DeLille Elementary School, which is in walking distance of the land that I purchased, 5.2 acres to build this center. It's on high ground. It's a perfect area. It's going to be an evacuation shelter. Hopefully they won't need that. But he visited, and also President Clinton had been there, and I write a chapter comparing the two. You can even see that on the website, ThroughTheEyeOfTheStorm.com, same as the book, or on ChelseaGreen.com, and I read that chapter. But essentially, what I found about his visit was that he's detached. He came in and met with some local dignitaries, and then all these folks, including myself, were waiting desperately to see him, you know, to even see the president. And this is a very bipartisan group, but again, he was very highly managed and made about a two-minute speech, and that was it.
Yeah. Well, what a surprise. I think it was mem shows, as they say in French. Same thing today. Hey, best of luck on this. Through the Eye of the Storm, 100% of the proceeds going to build a community center for the people that really need it in this country, the people that the government are not taking care of. And we're, of course, accused of giving too much for the liberal side. Well, we're not doing that, are we? And we got to do it ourselves. So, Sholin Espinosa, hey, it's great to know you. And this is a great book, and I encourage everybody to go online. If they don't remember eyeofthestorm.com, through the Eye of the Storm, they can go onto my website, johnlho.com. We'll give them a link to your site, and they can buy it there. Thanks a million for being with us.
Thank you, John.
All right. Okay, Sholin Espinosa joining us, and we will be right back. I'm going to take your calls when I come back. Debbie, Judy, Herb, Robert, Jimmy, don't go away. It's John Elliott sitting in for Mike Malloy, and I will be right back.
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
What can we do about these clowns in Washington? Well, we can laugh. We can laugh hard and often, which is the whole idea of Funny Times. Funny Times is the monthly journal of flat-out funny cartoons and political humor, the highlight reel of funny. And right now, you can sample it for 3 months absolutely free. Garrison Keillor, Tom Tolles, Molly Ivins, and hundreds more, and all free. Recent medical studies prove laughter prevents heart attacks and even helps you lose weight. So even if I didn't tell you to try Funny Times, your doctor might. So call this number, 1-888-FUNNY-TIMES, or go to funnytimes.com. After three free issues, you can't have the last laugh and say no thanks, but we'll bet you'll want to keep laughing and sign up for 12 months at just $23. That is a lot of funny for the money. Funny Times, risk-free. Call 1-888-FUNNY-TIMES or go to funnytimes.com.
Welcome back to the Mike Malloy radio program on Air America Radio Network. I'm John Elliott sitting in for Mike this Thursday evening. How are you? Thank you for joining us. What a great segment we have with Jolene Espinosa, a very brave individual. Herb in Mississippi, how are you? Welcome to the Mike Malloy Show. You're on with John Elliott. How are you doing tonight?
Hello, John. It's a pleasure to talk to you on my birthday here.
Oh, a happy birthday to you, Herb. It's my pleasure.
Listen, man, I'm a regular caller for Mike. I call in quite often. But I am a Katrina victim myself. And my twin sister is also even more of a victim of Katrina. She lives in Gushay, Mississippi, and she works in Ocean Springs. And
now, where do you live in Mississippi?
I live in Columbia. I'm about an hour from the coast.
Okay.
And she lives, she's in a tent as of this moment.
In a tent today. This was Labor Day. Katrina was Labor Day. Unless we refer to President Bush's wife, Laura, who referred to it repeatedly as Corina.
Yeah.
So we are talking about Katrina, the Hurricane Katrina, as opposed to Corina, President Bush's wife's idea, right?
Well, see, now, as far as I'm concerned, President Bush needs to just get out of the area because, they had a Mississippi Gulf Coast Junior College graduation down there today, and he actually interfered with that. He caused people who want to see their children graduate not being able to go. So, I mean,
Did his motorcade block the fact that people couldn't get?
Yeah, I was reading about it in Sun Herald, and it said between a presidential commencement speech and a lack of seating tickets for some ceremonies are in short supply.
Ah, that's very nice.
And I mean, like my twin sister, she's in the tent, and she is just totally, getting to the point where she gets depressed, and
of course she does.
And she just, she said, hey, if Bush really wants to do something for Mississippi, for this area, he can get out.
Well, I think we have the same sentiment. He can do the same thing for the country. He can get out to her. But has she been able to contact FEMA, or is she just getting the runaround that we all hear about?
Well, now, see, here's the thing about it. She has discovered that if you contact Trent Lott, you're not going to get any help.
Why is that? He's the senator. Why are you not getting any help?
Well, he's playing politics, man. Well,
what about Thad Cochran?
Thad Cochran is a joke. The man that lives that ran against him the first time lives in my hometown here in Columbia, and they were very bitter. Maurice Stanton, and they had a very bitter campaign. And Columbia, as far as Thad Cochran goes, it doesn't exist. But I mean, it's also the fact that this governor here, he's more concentrated on litter. I mean, he's one of these that sidetracks the issue.
Well, Haley Barbour's been known for that for years, ever since he ran the Republican National Committee.
Right.
He started to get money over from China, and then as soon as he got the money from China, he started to hide it, and then he created problems
Dems. We still have people on that coast living in tents. They're not living in trailers now.
They're not getting
the
trailers.
They're living in tents, buddy. And, the thing about it is I was down there just the other day, and the crime is so much higher, and they got these contractors that will threaten you if you just look at them the wrong way. And they're contractors, man. These are some of the Bush crime family.
Yeah, I know.
And we have had two murders in the jails, one in Harrison County, one in Jackson County, and both of them are under investigation, materials being hid. State Farm has had fraud evidence that's been destroyed. I mean, God almighty, man, this place is going to hell in a handbasket.
Well, we sympathize for you, Herb, and thanks for checking in. I really appreciate it. Thanks very much for checking in on my show. It's very nice to meet you, Herb, and happy birthday. Now we're going to go to Judy in Sydney, Australia, representing the Democrats abroad. How are you, Judy? Welcome to the Mike Malloy Show. You're on with John Elliott.
Hello. It's a real pleasure to talk to you. We really enjoy Air America here.
Well, that's great. Air America does its absolute best to make programming that you can enjoy. Now, we're looking probably about 9 o'clock in the morning tomorrow for us, aren't you?
Actually, it's 1 in the afternoon.
1 in the afternoon. Shows you where my time clock is.
It is. I was calling because I heard you asked to let people know what we're doing, and I know that a lot of Americans listening abroad, living abroad, probably listen to Air America.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of expats.
They may not realize how important it is to vote this year and that you're entitled to vote, even if you've been out of the U.S. for years and years and years.
And hopefully it will be voting with a piece of paper that gets there in time and doesn't get delayed, and Hopefully you can cast your ballot. Your accent certainly doesn't give me an indication that you're somewhere south of Melbourne or Brisbane, I'll tell you. What part of the United States are you from?
I'm from Kentucky.
Cool.
And I've been over here 4 years. I have my residency here now, and I've met so many wonderful Americans who are here either working or have retired here. Their children are here. And in the 2004 election, we registered about 4,000 voters.
Wow, 2,000. Wow, that's incredible. Of those, how many do you think are Democrats?
Well, that's all. We can't discriminate when we go places, but we try to go to places where we hope we went outside the screening of Michael Moore's movies, and handed out leaflets and that sort of thing.
Well, we're going to have another movie coming up for you. In the next hour, we're going to have Robert Greenwald. He's going to be talking about his movie on Tom DeLay that's coming out, and you're going to love that. So, Judy, I really appreciate you checking in with us from Sydney, Australia. Sydney, Australia, for Judy, coming in on the Air America Radio Network. It's John Elliott sitting in for Mike Malloy. We're coming up to the top of the hour, the Air America News, and then we're going to be right back with lots more of Mike Malloy's show with John Elliott. Lots more important stuff to cover, stuff that you really need to know about, stuff that you need to be aware about, and stuff that you need to get active on. And then we're going to have Robert Greenwell, producer Robert Greenwell, with us. Don't go away.
And I'm taking my country back. Son, you ain't been doing her right.
Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
I'm so glad you got tickets to this concert.
Definitely. This guy's put on a killer show.
Great. Let's go.
Wait. It's just the open band. Let's get a little stone first. It's crazy strong. Here you go.
This is the moment your guidance can prevent your teen from smoking marijuana. So visit theantidrug.com and learn how to set clear rules about drugs. Parents, the anti-drug. Sponsored by the ONDCP and the Partnership for a Drug-Free America.
Every day, Aleve helps millions of people overcome the pain of arthritis. In recognition of Arthritis Month, Aleve is bringing you one of their stories every day.
I'm Phyllis Ocean, and this is my story. When I was diagnosed, my arthritis was in my knees. I started using Aleve. You don't know how good you feel until the pain is gone.
31 people, 31 stories, 31 days of good news. That's a daily dose.
Aleve works for me.
Watch for a new story each day on national TV and AleveGoodNews.com. Use as directed for minor arthritis pain.
Air America Radio News, I'm Bill Crowley. An Israeli military official says Iran has missiles that can reach Europe. Israel's military intelligence chief says they're surface-to-surface missiles made in North Korea. The report says the BM-25 missiles have a range of 1,550 miles and can carry nuclear warheads. The paper is saying Iran has taken delivery on its first batch of this new missile. The report came as UN members consider putting sanctions on Iran for refusing to halt its uranium enrichment. The U.S., Israel, and other Western countries say Iran is trying to get nuclear arms, but Iran says its atomic program is for civilian purposes only. Israel has a new coalition government in process with enough weight to carry through on decisions. Officials of the Kadima Party say they reached a coalition deal with the left-center Labor Party. So that'll give interim Prime Minister Ehud Olmert a government that would back his plan to draw Israel's final borders by the year 2010. Olmert's Kadima party won the March election but didn't have enough seats in the 120-seat Israeli Knesset to rule alone. Labor Party members will get several ministry positions in the government. Kadima reached agreements yesterday with two smaller parties. Deadly violence continuing in Iraq in Ramadi, 70 miles west of the capital. U.S. forces exchange fire with rebel insurgents who attack with small arms and shoulder-fired rockets from a former train station and a nearby building. A U.S. commander says a U.S. jet and U.S. ground forces killed eight of the attackers. In another incident, an Iraqi soldier killed in a nearby firefight with insurgents. Italian officials say a bomb in southern Iraq killed three Italian soldiers and a Romanian soldier in a military convoy. That is prompting calls in Italy for the new premier to bring Italian troops home. In the midst of all the worries about bird flu, federal health watchers say this has been one of the mildest flu seasons in recent years. The CDC says flu and pneumonia deaths this season were lower than usual, partly because the vaccine was a good match for this past winter's most common virus. About two dozen children deaths reported this year, and a nasty outbreak of a different strain of flu hospitalized more than 30 kids in Houston. As the season is coming to a close now, flu is reported widespread this month in only five states, Connecticut, Delaware, Indiana, New York, and Rhode Island. This is Air America Radio News.
Welcome back to the Mike Malloy radio program on the Air America Radio Network. Good evening and good morning. It's John Elliott sitting in for Mike. If you'd like to speak with us, 866-303-2270. Debbie in San Diego, you've been on hold for, since last Tuesday, I understand. Debbie, how are you? Welcome to the Mike Malloy program.
Hi, John. How are you doing?
I'm fine, thanks. How are you?
You know, I was watching a recent program on TV, and I just noticed that I think the right wing is still pushing really hard to get our focus off of why we're in Iraq, the phony reasons that took us there, and keep us focused on what are we going to do to get out. And to me, it's kind of like taking the focus off the ball. You know, so you have a bus driver with some school kids, and he runs it off the road and smacks it into the guardrail. And we're all supposed to just sit there and go, well, I hope the ambulance is coming, and not find fault with the bus driver. You know, we're supposed to hold that guy accountable.
And you know, I mean, it's pretty clear while we're in Iraq, and it's pretty clear that there's an issue over there. We've got Rumsfeld and Rice over there, which I thought, you know, that's you know, really kind of unusual. That has the makings of an old Miller Lite commercial, you know. Thousands of mistakes, no mistakes. Less filling, tastes great. Thousands of mistakes, no mistakes.
You know,
and, I mean, you don't suppose that when Condi Rice was in England and she made the statement that the U.S. had made thousands of mistakes in Iraq, that she was referring to the 2,393 American service members killed in Iraq or the thousands of Iraqis, do you?
Do I?
Yeah.
No, I don't remember that.
Okay, well, she was in the U.K., and she was saying that we had made thousands of mistakes in Iraq, and, of course, immediately Rumsfeld took umbrage with that and said, no, we didn't make any mistakes over there. So, you know, Rumsfeld is over there now amid this chaos and carnage, and he's decided that things are now going so well that we should be able to bring some of the troops home later this year.
You know, what I think is, I don't think Rice is very good at her job, and obviously Rumsfeld is terrible. And when we put our...
Who in their administration is any good? Who seriously is competent? What's clear to America is they have the ability to win elections, but they don't have the ability to govern.
That's exactly right. And they, you know, they couldn't diplomatize, if there's such a word, Bush probably thinks there is, our way out of a paper bag, you know, a wet paper bag. I mean, it's terrible. And then, you know, with these gas prices, I personally think that they intentionally introduced volatility into the market, you know, unease into the market via these wars. And I just wonder what kind of impact this is having on other nations that have to bear this burden as much as us. We always think of ourselves, but I bet you the British aren't too happy about it.
They're more conditioned. They've been paying the $4 and $5 and $6 a gallon as of most of Europe for a while, but it's really kind of arresting in our country because nobody has really been gaining an advantage here from an economic point of view. It's not the 8 years of peace and prosperity that we had under Bill Clinton. So now you've got Rumsfeld, who's the beleaguered Secretary of State, Secretary of Defense, and Condoleezza Rice. And I refer to her as the Secretary of State, not the oil tanker. Now, I'm sure you knew that, right, that Condoleezza Rice was a member of the board of directors of Chevron, and they named an oil tanker after, and that's until she became part of Bush's administration, and then, of course, they renamed the tanker. And you know, most people think it was just Bush and Cheney that were oil people. It's the whole cabal. I mean, they're all fossil fuel alumni. I mean, what was the price of a gallon of gas when Bush became president in 2000? And what's it now? I mean, you're in San Diego. I'm in San Diego. It was $3.11 here on Tuesday, and then $3.18 yesterday, and now today it's $3.22. And I don't think that's an accident, do you?
Oh, absolutely. I think this is intentional. I think that they're trying to plunder us. I think that this idea of giving everybody, $100 for two tanks of gas?
$100. This is the solution that the Republicans have come up with to the gas problem. Let's give everybody in the country $100. What's that, two tankfuls of gas? The hell is that? Let's give everybody $100.
And we're supposed to send it to the gas stations or the gas companies.
Yeah, exactly. Is that not another subsidy for the gas stations, for the gas companies? We're going to give Americans $100 to ease the burden of overpriced gasoline so that they can then go and give that $100 to our pals in the gasoline industry so that they can turn around, make huge profits, and make donations to the Democratic...
Republicans.
Oh, it's the Republican Party. See, I got carried away.
Well, thank you. It's great talking to you.
Great to talk to you too, Debbie. Hey, Robert in Miami. It's the John Elliott sitting in for Mike Malloy program on Air America Radio. How are you?
Hello, great. Yes, you were just discussing Condoleezza and Romney, and I noticed that Condoleezza seems to... when there's a problem in the U.S. that she wants to get away from and create good favor for the administration, because the press always reports on her positively, whatever she does. She seems to go on these foreign trips, and since Bush has been having troubles all year, she's gone on like five or six of these foreign trips. It's unbelievable. And so on the latest foreign trip, she goes to Iraq. Well, it turns out Rummy was going to go. And so this is my theory, but I think I'm right. If you listen, I think I'm right. My theory is they arrived in separate planes, because if they arrive in the same plane, both of them think they're God's gift to the world and God's gift to, you know, foreign policy, so that neither of them could get off the plane last, because there's a protocol, and the Secretary of Defense is actually head of the National Security Advisor, but, you know, Condoleezza would never stand for that, and Rummy certainly wouldn't get on behind her. So they arrive in two separate planes to Iraq, and so they're more concerned with this type of thing than they are with actually doing their job.
Yeah,
you know?
they seem to be more concerned with standing on posture to make sure that their points get across. It's really kind of embarrassing. I mean, when you look at these two, now you've got Rumsfeld over there, and he's saying that things are going so peachy keen in Iraq that, you know, they're going to start bringing people back. I mean, hey, they had an election, and it took them 4 months just to form a government. And since they formed the government just last week, there have been more Iraqi deaths than average. So in Rumsfeld's assessment, things have turned a corner, and progress is being made. So you know that well-worn-out line, when the Iraqis stand up, we'll stand down. So just the formation of this government, I mean, that's all we're talking about here, Robert. Just the formation of this government. It's, okay, boys, that's it. Looks great. Let's go bring the troops home. Listen to me.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, they're going to make a big patriotic show out of this, but watch out for the 4th of July.
Another thing that offends me, are you still there?
I am.
Another thing that offends me, and this actually disgusts me, is not only Rummy and Condoleezza, but also Bush. And I'll give credit for Cheney. Cheney doesn't do this. But the other three, they always talk about war, and they visit Iraq, and they're always joking and laughing. And, you know,
isn't that offensive?
War. Can't you pretend to care? Can't you pretend it's serious? I've never, ever seen another president of any party, of any country, who constantly talks about a war their country is engaged in, and they're laughing and joking all the time and smiling.
They are. Do you remember the National Correspondents' Dinner? And Bush was sitting there, and what he was doing is just pretending to, showing pictures of looking under the chair of the White House. Where are the WMDs there?
And
for some reason, they thought this was humorous. I found it very, very offensive.
I never forgave Kerry for not using that in a commercial.
No kidding.
Because most people never saw that, except for C-SPAN. They never showed it much, except for C-SPAN.
Yeah, well,
and no one watched C-SPAN.
Kerry was out here last week doing a fundraiser. I hope he's planning on using the funds to run for the Senate. I hope he's not planning on using them to run for the presidency.
I also wanted to say that I wish the Democrats would not, when they're, you know, when you're in a battle with a junkyard dog, such as Kerry was in 2004, I don't believe you should play by, to use an old-fashioned phrase, Marquise of Queensbury rules, if I'm saying that right. But, you know, Kerry had $16 million in his campaign bank account that he didn't spend.
No kidding.
Because he, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, he had $10 million more in a separate bank account specifically earmarked to fight any problems like the 2000 election in Florida. And when the problems came up in Ohio, he sat on it. It was run by his brother. I have to move on, Robert. Thanks a million for the call. I really appreciate it. Alicia in Seattle. It's John Elliott sitting in for Mike Malloy. You're on the Air America Radio Network. Welcome to the program. How are you?
Hey, thanks. It's the first time I've ever called a radio show.
Well, it's the first time I've ever hosted this radio show, too, so we're both working on it here.
Yeah, I'm actually from Bozeman, Montana. I'm in transit, and I am calling because I've heard on this show and several other shows I've been listening to today on Air America about the $100 gas rebate for every
citizen. Are you going to invest yours? Are you going to buy stock in Exxon with your $100? Is that what you're going to do with it?
Actually, no. I just wanted to point out that that's actually a smokescreen, and they've snuck the drilling of the Arctic National Refuge onto that bill for the fourth time since this administration has been in office. And it was defeated recently, and now it's back. So you really need to write your senators again and let them know that this is not something that we really want to pursue.
Well, you're in Seattle, and I had a meeting with I was a small function, about 8 or 10 people, with your Senator Maria Cantwell, and that was really the foremost of her campaign. And she's a person I'm very fond of. I think that she does a very good job for the people of Washington. I know she's going to be in a battle this election, but she is front and center on the Anwar thing. She wants to stop that, and it's been pointed out a number of times that the amount of oil that you could pull out of there would not last us matter of months, and at the same time, it's irreversible damage that's done.
Well, I agree. And I just think that this whole, every, you know, last time it was in the defense fund, and the time before that it was in the budget fund, and they sneak it in December 24th when, you know, nobody's reading it, nobody knows it's there. It's just, you know, this $100 thing, oh, we're going to get $100, yay. It's a,
hey, you know,
it's
that,
a smoke screen.
That's why we're here.
Something bigger. Yeah,
that's why we're here. That's why you listen, and that's why I'm talking, and that's why you call us, because we know what's going on. The people that listen to this program, the people that listen to Air America, they get it. And what we have to do, our job, is to make sure that the other people that aren't paying attention get it. Alicia, thanks a million for the call. Drive safely. It's John Elliott sitting in for Mike Malone. I'm going to take a quick break, and then I'm going to come back to take more of your calls. 866-303-2270.
Well, I won't back down. No, I won't back down.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
In the beginning, there was National Lampoon, Spy Magazine, and This is Spinal Tap. Then, comedy writer Tony Hendra showed us his spiritual side in the New York Times bestseller, Father Joe. The Times Book Review called his memoir extraordinary, luminescent, and profound. But had Tony Hendra lost his comic edge? Ah, ye of little faith. Tony Hendra is back with a brand new novel, The Messiah of Morris Avenue. It's a slyly comic, deeply spiritual novel that imagines the second coming and an unlikely, lovable human new savior. Frank McCourt, the author of Angela's Ashes, says The Messiah of Morris Avenue is just what this country needs right now. A good dose of merriment in the face of craw-thumping righteousness. A rowdy book, but Lord, it's beautiful. And comedian George Carlin says it simply, I love this book. Thank heaven for Tony Hendra. The Messiah of Morris Avenue is at a bookstore near you from Henry Holt. Spread the word.
Welcome back, Air America, the Mike Malloy radio program. This is John Elliott sitting in for Mike, who is flying across the country on his way to Sacramento, where he's going to take part in an event with KCTC, our affiliate out there, 1320 AM, and the Progressive Caucus of the California Democratic Party. They're going to be, he's going to be moderating a conference on impeachment, and the festivities start Friday night at 8 o'clock. So I have to tell you, that could be a pretty damn fine event to attend. If you'd like to speak with us and chat with us while we're online, it's about 100 people I heard last in the chat room, go to johnelliottshow.com. That's J-O-N and Elliott, two L's, two T's, show.com. Scroll down, hit the button that says chat, and you're in, and you can chat with our wonderful webmaster, Nathan, and get involved in the program, give us some thoughts as to what you'd like us to talk about. John, Spokane, Washington. You're on the Mike Malloy radio program with John Elliott. How are you?
Oh, doing pretty good. Enjoying your show. Usually listen to Mike.
Thank you.
I'm a third-generation logger, and I quit logging a couple years ago and started driving truck because it kind of made me sick to look around the mountains that I grew up in, and they're pretty much bald.
Yeah.
And now the administration has okayed the finishing off of most of the national forests in the Northwest.
Yeah, that's a pretty nice idea. You know, the Republicans can point out that they're ecologically friendly because they claim that Teddy Roosevelt founded the national forests, and he did. But Teddy Roosevelt, a Republican, would be rolling over in his grave to see what the Bush administration is doing.
Well, and you know what the biggest thing is the people make nothing off it because it costs, they pretty much break even after building roads into the national forest. And once they're done logging them, they gate them off and they won't let you drive on them because I think it's because they don't want you to see the destruction that they've done.
Yeah, I wouldn't be a bit surprised. So the price of gas, how's it affecting your truck driving?
Well, I drive for a company, but I put about $500 a day in the truck.
What did you put in a year ago?
What was that?
How much would you put in about a year ago? If it's $500 now.
It's probably about $350 at this time last year.
That's about what I'm thinking. It's up about 50%. Well, best of luck to you. Thanks very much for checking in with us, John. I certainly appreciate it. Les, Chattanooga, Tennessee. How are you? You're on the Mike Malloy radio program with John Elliott. How are you?
Hey, happy Friday night to you.
Well, thank you very much. Yeah.
And welcome aboard.
Thank you. You can see the weekend from here, can't you?
Yeah, very cool, you know. Anyhow, it's kind of interesting. We're talking about these gas prices. It costs $10, I think I'd pay it. I'm not too concerned. But what seems to be coming down is the profit margin. And
whose profit margin?
The oil industry profit margin.
Well, Exxon reported their earnings today, and they reported a 7% gain in the first quarter, and that's year over year.
Yeah, seeing $80 billion. And now, what percent in the last quarter here, what percent did the government take in taxes? That percentage was higher.
Yeah, it was probably, they're working to try and get that down, you know. Cut that. I mean, they've got net income of $8.4 billion in the first 90 days. I mean,
$8.5
billion in 90 days, and that's up over $7.86 billion the year before. Sales went up 9%. Now, notice the corollary here. Sales go up 9% to $89 billion. And income goes up 7%. So that's pretty close. It's not as if sales went up 20% and income only went up 5%, because then you'd say their costs are higher. So what they're doing is that their sales are tracking up and their profits are tracking in virtually the same percentile increase in profits.
Yeah, what percent was the taxes, though? That's coming to 12% or 13%, particularly when the retailer's only getting about 7% or 5%.
Well, it said that, you know, they returned $7 billion back to their shareholders, and $2 billion was paid out as dividends, and then share buybacks of $5 billion, and they were going to increase the share purchase to $6 billion. But they spent $4.8 billion on capital investments and explorations.
Yeah, well, check the profit margin there that the federal government took off of this thing, too.
Well, we also have to look at the fact that, Lee Raymond, who ran the place, took home $686 million in 13 years, which is... I mean, that's $144,573 a day, and that's me using an Oklahoma Instruments calculator to come up with that number, I have to tell you.
Well, that's true. Well, it might be online somewhere how the federal government scored big with this increase. Plus, the retailer that's selling the stuff's only getting pennies. And then in Caracas, Venezuela, it's 12 cents.
Yep.
How about that?
Yeah, how about that? Yeah, thanks for checking in. I really appreciate it, Les. John Elliott sitting in for Mike Malloy. You know, I there's just so much to go over. There's so much going on right now. One of the things that, you know, we were talking earlier about Rumsfeld going over there. He now is going to start to bring the troops home. And this, I'm telling you, watch the 4th of July, because it's just going to be in time for the fall election. And it won't matter if there's a full-blown civil war over there. These bastards are going to tell American people that everything in Iraq is so improved, it's time to bring them home. And then right after the election, there'll be a sudden need to send them back. And I have to tell you, you know, it's just a disaster over there. I'm going to be taking a lot of your calls when I come back. Tom, Henry, Ron, Jesse, Michael, I really appreciate you sitting and checking in. But I'm going to, as soon as I break here, I'm going to have to, we're going to sell some products, and then we're going to come back. We're going to have producer-director Robert Greenwald. So if you guys can hang on with us, we'll be talking with Robert about his new film on Tom DeLay. And as you know, he's got a great film out there on Walmart. He had a great film out there on Fox Broadcasting, and now he's going to do one on Tom DeLay, and it's a pleasure to be to welcome him to the program. I've got so much more to go over with you, and I just don't even know where to start. Air America Radio Network, 866-303-2270. It's John Elliott sitting in for Mike Malloy. We'll be right back.
And I'm taking my country back. Son, you ain't been doing her right. Oh, I've been watching you, and I don't like how you've been treating my stars and stripes. You took our jobs and sent them overseas. Now we owe billions to the red Chinese. You blew the budget.
This is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
I'm so glad you got tickets to this concert.
Yeah, definitely. These guys put on a killer show.
Great, let's go.
Wait, it's just the opening band. Let's get a little stone first. It's crazy strong. Here you go.
This is the moment your guidance can prevent your teen from smoking marijuana. So visit theantidrug.com and learn how to set clear rules about drugs. Parents, the anti-drug.
Paid for by Office of National Drug Control Policy.
Hi, I'm David Orrick. Talk about unsanitary. A leading consumer testing magazine warns, if you're sensitive to dust, avoid bagless vacuums or wear a dust mask. Imagine vacuuming your house wearing a dust mask? Friends, try my hypoallergenic 8-pound Auric XL free for 30 days. It's 99.99% dust-free. Call 1-800-989-4200. 1-800-989-4200.
Who was the first automaker to introduce factory-installed safety belts and roll stability control? First to introduce emergency trunk releases and offer head and chest side airbags? And who is working on future safety innovations like lane departure warning and blind spot alert systems? It's Ford Motor Company. Ford engineers are working to help protect children, keep families safer, and save lives. Ford, driving American innovation.
Your loan's enemy, grubs. Their mission? To destroy your loan. So, backed by Bayer's 100-plus years of crop science expertise, Bayer Advance created season-long grub control with Merit, number one choice of professionals. No other formula kills more grubs, plus a single application protects your lawn for an entire season. Guaranteed. To grubs, it's the end of the road. To lawns, a new lease on life. Bayer Advanced season-long grub control. Better science, better results.
Welcome back to the Mike Malloy Radio Program on the Air America Radio Network. John Elliott sitting in this evening for Mike. You know, we went to a break there. We were talking about the price of gas. And you know, I have to think that Bush, because he's, you know, hearing those voices he talked about when he told us he was the decider, that the sudden leap in price of gas is hurting him. And some people have to pawn their jewelry and electronics just to get gas money to pay day. So President Bush, of course, who feigns this outright indignation at the increase at the pumps, has said he wants an inquiry into the reasons behind the increase. He wants to find out who is responsible. Now, I have to tell you, call me cynical here, but wasn't it the same President Bush who wanted an inquiry to find out who it was that leaked Valerie Wilson's name? Now it turns out that to find the leaker, all he had to do was to include his chief of staff and his vice president and his chief of staff in a little game of mirror, mirror on the wall. And he and we would have found out who leaked Valerie Wilson's name to the media. So let me suggest that if the president is sincere in his quest to find out who's responsible for this wild rocketing price increases at the pumps, he and his vice president and his secretary of state all engage in a little game of mirror, mirror on the wall. After all three were in the oil business, as they say in Texas. Plus, when you really think of it, here's an administration steeped in the fossil fuel industry. They have experience in the business. I mean, wouldn't you think it makes a lot of sense that they are qualified more so than, let's say, if they came out of Wall Street to find out what's really going on? But first, they'd have to find out what's really going on there, wouldn't they? Yeah, sure. That's great. Well, we're going to welcome to the program producer-director Robert Greenwald. As I said at the top of the show, it's a gentleman I've known for, I guess, about a year now. We've met a couple of times at social events, and I've been a huge fan of his for a number of years. By my count, he's done over 90 motion pictures where he either was the executive producer or the director or the producer. Lately, he's done some films that have caught everyone's eye because they've been politically charged. Unprecedented was about the 2000 presidential election. Outfoxed, Robert Murdoch's war on journalism. Uncovered was the war in Iraq. Last year, we had Walmart, the high cost of low prices. And this year, another documentary, and sure to be another smash, The Big Buy, How Tom DeLay Stole Congress. Robert, welcome to the program. How are you?
Thank you. It's good to be with you.
It's good to be with you, too. Thanks for being here. This is a very interesting subject that you've come up with. He is absolutely my favorite politician. I refer to him as the little rat wrangler. And I just pummel him mercilessly. I mean, this is a guy that he started out in Texas, and he was known as Hot Tub Tom, as you probably know.
Oh, yeah. They call him that in the movie.
Yeah, and he lived in Macho Manor and was doing some pretty heavy drinking, and then he found Jesus. And with Jesus came a lot of money and a lot of political connections. And let me start by telling you that I had Bernie Sanders on my program.
Great.
Most people know he is the not only an independent sitting in Congress, he's the longest sitting independent in the history of the United States government. He said there wasn't one single bill brought to the floor in the House of Tom DeLay's government that wasn't bought and paid for.
Well, Bernie speaks the truth. And just to divert for a moment, I will tell you a very unknown fact. Bernie Sanders appears in a movie I directed called Sweetheart Stance with Don Johnson and Jeff Daniels, because that's when I first met Bernie years ago in Vermont. And that's when I got to know him, and Bernie has a small role. But
Did he play himself?
Yeah, basically.
But
I didn't direct this film. It was made by two really terrific guys from Texas, Mark Birnbaum and Jim Shermack, who did The Big Buy. And I mean, they found what we now know is public, but to their credit, when they started on it, it wasn't, was the enormous corruption and the large corporations buying and selling Tom DeLay and breaking the law. And what they've done in this movie, which is, I encourage folks can go to TomDeLayMovie.com to order it, you'll be able to see how DeLay did it, how it worked, and most importantly, the number of other guys on the take taking Tom DeLay's money and continuing these patterns of theft and corruption.
He found a way, and the way was to make himself the big fundraiser, and he would raise a ton of money, and then he would spread this money around throughout Congress to a lot of the Republicans, and in effect, it was the quid pro quo was, here's the money, is the quid, and the quo was, I want your vote and your loyalty when I want to bring something that somebody's paying me to bring to the floor, right?
Absolutely. And he was blatant about it. And fortunately for democracy and for all of us, it's caught up with him. As Ronnie Earle says in the movie, and it's more relevant than ever, he says, if we don't stop these corporations from putting money into the elections and distorting the election process, then it's going to come to a state right near you. It's going to come to your very own state. And we hope people are going to use the film, frankly, to organize, you know, to do house parties, to do screenings around the country, and to go after all of the crooked politicians who have been bought, bred, and trained by Tom DeLay.
Now let's talk about the film and how people can get involved. They can go to TomDeLayMovie.com, or they can go to JohnElliottShow.com, and we've got a link right to TomDeLayMovie.com, so if they forget that or they're driving tonight and can't write it down.
Great.
How do they get involved in doing a screening?
Well, they can just sign up on the website. They'll be able to, as we've done with all of them, they'll be able to say, I want to do a screening or I want to go to a screening. You can also organize your own if you're running for office or if you're supporting a candidate in a district who's got a fight, a tough fight, or not a tough fight. You can use it so that you can bring people together and say, look, this is what we're fighting. This is the corruption we're fighting. These are the corporations. And here are the politicians, because we name names in the film. And it's not just DeLay. It didn't start with him. It isn't ending with him. And it's really an important concept that people understand how deep the corporate culture and the corporate corruption has gone and continues to go.
And you had requests out to a number of DeLay-affiliated politicians for interviews and got nada, got declined across the board, didn't you?
Mark and Jim really tried, and they found over and over again that people were intimidated by DeLay. They didn't want to talk about DeLay, but we have several people from Texas talking about Hot Tub Tom and having a wonderful sense of humor, if you will, about somebody who has truly hurt democracy. And again, we must remember the number of bills that were passed because they redistricted Texas that allowed them to get some more votes in the House of Representatives. And then you look back, and we have folks talk about it in the movie, that this is what happened. Here were bills that were passed by 4, 5, and 6 votes from the budget on and really affect our lives in a significant way.
Yeah, these are bills that are so tight that it's the Texas redistricting where they garnered an additional 7 seats, and therefore we lost 7 seats. So there's a swing of well over, you know, a dozen seats right there, and that makes the difference all the difference in the world in the vote, doesn't it?
Absolutely, and serious votes. You know, again, this was not inconsequential things, but really things that mattered, in which his distorting through the redistricting process, using the corporations to buy. Again, it's against the law in Texas to contribute corporate money for campaigns, and they did it. And as Ronnie Earle says, it's not a right-left issue. It's not a Democrat-Republican. It's good guys versus bad guys.
Yeah, and I had dinner with a congressman from the East Coast last year, and he was telling me that there was a time when he would sit in a restaurant and watch Tom DeLay down a dozen martinis night after night after night.
Wow.
And he said, first of all, I'd be dead if that was me. And he said, I can't believe that this guy could do it. And he just keeps doing it and doing it. And you know, then he'll come on television when he's brought up on these charges. He says it's just a liberal plot. And we all know that Ronnie Earle is a Democratic attorney general, district attorney in Austin. But he has actually prosecuted more Democrats than Republicans, right?
Absolutely. And he's I don't know the man, but just watching him in the film, he's got, his integrity, his
right.
commitment to truth-telling. You know, this is one of the saddest things about some of these right-wing nutcases like DeLay, is that you can't have a reasonable debate about the issue. It goes right to, well, Ronnie's this, he's that. Let's really have a significant, serious fight about what is the role of corporate money, what happened, what didn't happen. And again, I think we're seeing over and over again the impact of corporations. It's what I discovered doing the Walmart movie. It's what Mark and Jim lay out in The Big Buy, and the next film we want to do about war profiteering, we're seeing the roles of corporations. So it's a significant issue that we need to wrestle with and take on in many different ways, and again, organize around. These films are only useful if the audience gets out, gets copies, and uses them to screen and to get people to take action.
One thing you do, and you've always done at Brave New Films, is you make these films affordable. I mean, a DVD is $15, right?
Yep.
I mean, it's $15. You can get If you're going to distribute it in a committee, you can buy them at a discount. They're all going to be coming out in May, and you're going to have screenings. In fact, I think it's very appropriate that you're going to have the world premiere right in DeLay's home district, aren't you?
Absolutely, right in Houston. We're going to have a big celebration, and everyone's invited.
The name of the movie is The Big Buy, Tom DeLay's Stolen Congress. And you can go to tomdelaymovie.com. You can click on screenings. You can see a trailer. You can buy the DVD. You can get a list of the witnesses, the people that were interviewed, the people that refused interviews. Tom DeLay was one of those. No surprise. My favorite Tom DeLay story, before you go, my favorite Tom DeLay story is 1988, the Republican National Convention. Hardly anybody knew him, and he was holding court on why he didn't go to Vietnam. And he said that the reason he didn't go to Vietnam, to the press, is because he felt that it would be taking away those well-paying jobs from the poor black folk that therefore wouldn't have the opportunity to go. So it was a gracious act on his part just to not go to war and not enlist and not go into the draft and let some poor black person get in there and get rich.
Well, you know, he's going to get an award from probably the NAACP for being so gracious about doing that. I mean, really, everyone has to appreciate the sacrifices he's made in turning that job over to poor black people. And that's why he's an American hero.
He is. And we shall leave it at that. Robert Greenwald, it's great to talk to you again. Thanks, man.
Thanks.
We'll talk to you soon. But it's TomDelayMovie.com, or you can go to JohnElliottShow.com and click right through to it. It's John Elliott sitting in for Mike Malloy. We're going to take a break. We're going to be getting to your calls when we come back.
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Whether you have health insurance or not, chances are you don't have dental or vision coverage. But now, with the Optimum Health Discount Card, you and your family can get substantial savings of up to 60% off every time you visit your dentist or eye care professional. Because this is not insurance, everyone is accepted, even if you or your family members have pre-existing conditions. For only $9.95 a month, you, your spouse, and your children are all covered. Your membership includes access to our combined nationwide network of over 75,000 participating dentists and eye care professionals. Call right now and we'll also include for free the RX Saver discount prescription card. The RX Saver is accepted in most pharmacies nationwide and provides savings of up to 60% off most medications. Call our toll-free number now at 1-866-333-3000. That's 1-866-333-3000. Use the Optimum Health discount card risk-free for 30 days and start saving now on all of your dental and vision care needs. Call 1-866-333-3000. Again, 1-866-333-3000.
John Elliott sitting in for Mike Malloy on the Air America Radio Network. If you would like to speak with us, 866-303-2270. Michael in the Bronx, you're on with John Elliott. Welcome to the Air America Radio Network. How are you?
Hey, John. How you doing?
I'm doing very well, sir.
All right. You said this is your first broadcast?
It's my first broadcast on Air America.
On Air America?
Yeah, I have a show here in San Diego. I do noon to two Saturdays and Sunday.
Well, if I may echo the words of a man that I really despise, you're doing a heck of a job.
Well, thank you, Michael.
Two things that are on my mind. First off, with these gas prices, you know, I don't know what it is with these Republicans that are going to say that there's nothing wrong with the gas prices. Bush is doing great. They want to dismiss all the criticism. How is it they forget that under Clinton, the gas prices were at an average of $1 to $1.25 a gallon, some places perhaps even less, and then now under Bush, he has managed to raise the gas prices to nearly $3 or more, so three times or more per gallon. And, if, you know, that's something like that doesn't make sense. And the other thing that bothers me is something that, Snow, the new press secretary, has said. He says that racism is something of the past. Excuse me, you stupid, evil idiot.
Yeah.
How quick we forget about the 2000 and 2004 elections where mainly blacks and Latinos were blocked from the voting polls, helping Bush steal the
election.
Well,
not only blocked. I have a friend who's African-American living in Washington, and I talked to him shortly after the 2000 election, Michael, and he said that he had a lot of relatives in South Florida, of course, the Palm Beach County area and Miami-Dade, and they Jeb Bush had stationed a lot of police out, and the word got out in the hood that the police were there and they were checking IDs to make sure, and they were hassling African Americans coming to vote. So needless to say, he said a lot of them just said, you know, I'm not going to do this. I am not going to go through this nonsense of having to stand there and be hassled by the man. And as a result, they discouraged them from voting. Now, that does not show up anywhere. Actually, where that shows up is in one of Robert Greenwald's films, you know, Unprecedented, because he refers to that. And it's just unconscionable what's going on. Of course there's racism in this country, and it's,
Katrina, too.
How about Katrina?
Yeah. Let
me tell you something.
Yeah.
I was listening to NPR during the hearings after Katrina, and I heard I can't even remember the name of this, an obscure congressman from either Indiana or Illinois or something, and he said to Michael Brown, the question was, were you aware that President Bush did not declare the greater New Orleans area a federal emergency disaster area? And there's dead silence, and he said, okay, Mr. Brown, I'm going to repeat my question. Were you aware that President Bush did not declare the New Orleans area, a federal emergency, federal disaster area? Dead silence, and then he came back and said, yes. And I said, excuse me? So when I got home, I pulled up a map of Louisiana on a parish-by-parish basis.
Wait, then, John, I'm sorry. Are you saying that he was asked the question twice and both times was dead silence?
He was dead silent the first time. It was repeated the second time. There was silence for a bit, and then he said, you know, yes, he was aware that it was not a federal emergency disaster area. So I pull up a map, and then what I did is I pulled up Kathleen Blanco's letter to President Bush, which was on the Friday before Katrina hit, and she specifically said in the letter, and you've got to be able to access it on the state of Louisiana governor, and you've got to be able to see exactly what I saw. And I'll tell you, Michael, what I saw is her saying, we need this declared as a federal emergency disaster area. We're going to be overwhelmed. We'll do everything we can at the state level, but we're not going to have a chance. This is a monster storm, and especially in the southeastern part of the state, where New Orleans is located, of course, that's where we want it. Then the next day you go on the White House site, and there is a letter from Bush declaring federal emergency disaster areas in the following counties of following parishes of Louisiana, and he names them alphabetically. And you go down the list, and there's 10, 20, 30 of them. You say, oh, this is really good. And then I went, wait a minute. So what I did is I took the map, and I colored in all of the areas that were made federal emergency disaster areas. They were all in the north. None of them were on the coast. None of them were on the coast. None of them were around New Orleans. All of them were in the north. So that he can say he declared a federal emergency disaster area and that Michael Brown was in charge of the following parishes and giving them aid, he gave no aid whatsoever to the coast. Now, perhaps President Bush is geographically challenged, Michael. Perhaps he actually thought the hurricane was actually going to approach from Arkansas.
Wait, no. But see, this is also from the same man that says disassemble means not tell the truth.
Yeah. What I'm talking about is that there was a deliberate attempt not to provide aid to people along the coast of Louisiana, specifically in Louisiana's biggest city, which happens to be New Orleans, which happens to be predominantly African American.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm telling you today that if you go down to the Ninth Ward, I don't want to use the phrase smoke the people out, but they are trying to prevent them from going back to the Ninth Ward. You cannot get running water in the Ninth Ward.
I believe it. I believe it.
So you can't go back. You can't rebuild. You can't do anything. There's no money to rebuild. And the nonsense continues. And if they can turn Louisiana, if they can turn specifically New Orleans into a white city, and it's not a white city. It's a black city. It's an African-American city. That's the way it was. That's the way it should be.
Right.
If they can turn that into a white city, it's going to swing the balance of power in that particular state to their side. So I think everything they do is power-oriented. When they outed Valerie Wilson, they actually harmed our national security. She happened to be a specialist undercover on weapons of mass destruction. And that was the big cause, supposedly, for going to war in Iraq? Well, wait a minute. They outed her specifically to try and remain in power, specifically to try and get back at Joe Wilson, specifically to send a warning shot across the bow over any other whistleblower that may think that they may go out against this president. So, you know, I think Tony Snow needs to...
Before I go, can I send you an email of a scandal that is occurring here in New York State?
Regarding
a potential presidential candidate for 2008, namely our governor?
Your Governor Pataki?
Right.
Okay, yeah, sure. You can send that to me, and you can go on the johnelliottshow.com, and there's a...
How you spell that?
J-O-N.
J-O-N?
Yep. E-L-L-I-O-T-T, johnelliottshow.com.
Okay.
And you can click on that, Michael, as a way to send me a little email.
Thanks very much. Great talking with you, man.
My pleasure. Thanks very much for visiting. Tom, Joshua Tree, California. I know where that is. That's out near 29 Palms, which is not so far from where we are here in San Diego, right?
Yeah, I hear those mortars going off all day long.
I bet you do. How are you? Welcome to the Mike Malloy Show.
Well, thanks. Thanks very much for having me. I have a question. I need some advice because, you know, how do you handle the apathetics? I mean, when you consider that 26% of the electorate voted the Republican hell into office, and 52% mostly left-leaning liberals, that's over 100 million potential voters have turned their backs basically on democracy and have endorsed, aided, and abetted these Republican bastards.
Can you hang with me through the break? I want to address this issue. This is a very, very important issue. It's the reason I'm on the air. So I want to talk to you about this, Tom. Can you hang with us through the break? I got to take a quick break at the top of the hour for news.
Yeah, please.
You can stay. I will pick up your call as soon as we come right back. It's John Elliott sitting in for Mike Malloy on the Air America Radio Network. If you'd like to speak with us, 866-303-2277. 770.
Thanks a lot for the ride home. Hey, no problem. Just because you're a sophomore doesn't mean I can't talk to you.
Thanks.
Hey, while you're here, want to take a hit of some weed? Some good stuff. Here you go.
This is the moment your guidance can prevent your teen from smoking marijuana. So visit theantidrug.com and learn how to set clear rules about drugs. Parents, the anti-drug. Sponsored by the ONDCP and the Partnership for a Drug-Free America.
Do you want to know what's really going on in U.S. foreign and domestic policy? Then read Noam Chomsky's brilliant new book, Failed States. The New York Times calls Noam Chomsky a global phenomenon, perhaps the most widely read voice on foreign policy on the planet. Now, the best-selling author exposes our use of military force for what it is, a warning sign that America has become as dangerous as the failed states we claim we're trying to fix. Read Failed States by Noam Chomsky. New and hardcover from Metropolitan Books.
Air America Radio News. I'm Jeff Weiser. Gasoline prices jumped another 11 cents this week. The Metro Source Price at the Pump survey shows the national average for regular unleaded is $2.94 a gallon. Meanwhile, ExxonMobil posted its biggest first quarter profit ever. The company reported a 7% rise in quarterly profits to nearly $8.15 billion. On Capitol Hill, Republican senators want to send every taxpayer $100 to cover higher gas prices. The plan also calls for suspension of the 18-cent federal gasoline tax and paying for lost revenue by suspending oil industry tax breaks. The measure would also allow oil drilling in the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge. On the same day, ExxonMobil announced those first quarter profits. Victims of the Exxon Valdez oil spill called for the oil company to pay its debt. Patty Lane reports.
In 1994, Exxon was ordered to pay punitive damages to victims of the oil spill. That judgment is now at $4.5 billion.
We're just saying it's time now to pay. Justice has been delayed too long. Too many delay tactics.
Washington Representative Dave Reichardt says there are 33,000 victims, many fishermen like Frank Mullen.
When they left Alaska in the mid-90s, they forgot a couple of things. They forgot to finish cleaning up the oil, and they forgot to pay the fishermen.
Exxon has been arguing it should only pay $25 million. The disaster caused 11 million gallons of oil to spill into Prince William Sound, killing wildlife and devastating the local economy. Patty Lane, Seattle.
President Bush is promising improved federal responses to hurricanes this season. He made the vow on his 11th trip to the Gulf Coast. Viewing storm recovery efforts in New Orleans, Bush pounded nails into the frame of a new house. In Mississippi, he stopped to thank volunteers for their efforts to help hurricane victims. Back in Washington, a Senate panel released a blistering bipartisan report on the government's failed response to Hurricane Katrina. It also called for FEMA to be abolished and replaced with a more responsive agency. The White House is rejecting that suggestion. Immigration rights activists have high expectations for a national boycott next Monday. One organizer predicts the protests will, quote, close down Los Angeles, Chicago, New York, Tucson, Phoenix, and Fresno. You're listening to Air America Radio News. I'm Jeff Weiser.
Hour number three of the Mike Malloy Radio Program on the Air America Radio Network. I'm John Elliott. I'm sitting in for Mike tonight. And I really appreciate that you're taking some of your time to spend with us. I really look at your time as something that's very valuable. It's something you never get back once you invest it. And I'm thrilled that you're actually investing your time in this program with me tonight. Tom, Joshua Tree, California. When we hit a break, just before the break, we were talking about how to approach the apathetics and the fact, and this is why I got into this business. My background was in business. I was running some publicly traded companies and doing some consulting. And about mid-2002, I said, you know, I can't stand this guy. I mean, there's something's going on, and I've got to do something about it. So I called some friends, and long story short, here we are today. But I'm out to win elections. I realize that radio is a game where you have to get high ratings and get sponsors and whatnot, but I'm really out to win elections, and so I try and take perhaps a different type of attack than most radio talk show hosts. I am out there to talk to the people in the middle. I mean, clearly, we have people on our side. I like to be the alarm clock for people's political soul and wake them up and make them aware of what this group is doing. They are doing so many things. It isn't just the war in Iraq. It isn't just the price of gas. They're sliding stuff through all the time.
Yeah, I know, John. I know. We don't have to go through that litany. We've got it memorized by now.
I know we do.
My point is this. For example, I walk into a health food store today, and I'm about 150 miles from the blast zone on June 2nd. And I said, hey, you're going to have a bird's eye view of that mushroom cloud, aren't you? And this is the owner of a health food store, you know, who runs all this left liberal BS that's going on here. And she says, what bomb? And I say, you haven't heard? Bush is going to blow up a bomb. We don't know if it's going to be nuclear or conventional. And she says, you know, why are you always being so negative? And I said, negative?
What's negative? That's not negative.
Well,
that's reality.
I know that. You know that. But they don't know that.
Well, we have to talk to them, and we have to wake them up, and we have to sort of shake them and say, don't you realize what's going on here? And, you know, I think the American public needs to pay attention, and a lot of people aren't paying attention, and they have to pay attention, and it's our job. And that's just not mine. That's your job, too, is the only way we're going to get rid of these people is to be out there and talk about this and without going berserk on people and dealing with them. Like Robert Greenwald said, you can't even have a discourse with a guy like Tom DeLay because he's a right-wing nutball. We can't talk to him, and I realize that. But there are so many people in the middle that aren't right-wing nutballs, even people that are Republicans. I'm having my friends that are Republicans saying, look, I'm not going that way this time. When I get into there, I'm going to pull that lever, and I'm going to pull it for the Democrat because I need to get this guy out. We had Colonel Wilkerson on our station last week. He was Colin Powell's number one guy. It was his chief of staff and also happened to be his best friend. And he said the sorriest day of his life, the most disappointing day of his life, was the day that Colin Powell went before the United Nations, because the Bush administration leaned on two things. They leaned on his enormous credibility and the fact that the world respected Colin Powell, and most Americans did too, regardless of political persuasion. And secondly, they relied on the fact that he was a loyal soldier. And as a loyal soldier, he was used to taking orders. And his orders were to go in front of the UN and sell the package. And the package was all the nonsense about the weapons of mass destruction and the trailers. And he said that the sorriest thing day of his life is when that happened. And when asked what needs to happen now, the answer he came back, and obviously he's a Republican, the answer was the Democrats have to win one of the houses. And if they win the House, then they can have in charge of the committees. If they have charge of the committees, they have subpoena power. If they have subpoena power, they can pull these people in and they can get rid of them and they can charge them with the crimes that they're guilty of.
Yeah, but they need people to vote for them. And I guess that's still my frustration. And I guess you're approaching a resolution for me. But, in a way, I don't even blame the Republicans because they're just too stupid to know any better. But these liberals, these left-leaning liberals know better. And 52% of them said, no, we don't want anything to do with it. And that's my frustration. And
yeah.
I do talk. I talk to him all day whenever I get a chance. Wake up. And you know, the right thinks that the rapture is going to come, and the left thinks that when your heart's pure, that some flower power heaven quantum stuff is going to drop down out of the sky, and we're all going to go to some fairyland. I mean, it's absurd. It's ridiculous. And it's sort of like, so that's my frustration, and
I share it with you.
I'll just keep listening.
Thank you, man. We'll just keep working for you, and we'll just keep working on everybody else to try and make them pay attention, because when they do and when they realize what's happening, and we just motivate them to get out there and vote, they've got to get out there and vote. That's one thing about the other side. They get more passionate than we do, and their passion translates to the ballot box, and ours is not doing that, and we have to find a way to do that. Pam in Phoenix, you're on the Mike Malloy radio program with John Elliott. How are you?
Oh, hi. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm great. I love San Diego.
Excellent. San Diego loves you back.
You know, I wanted to share with you a Democracy Now! Interview that Amy Goodman had on her show on Monday.
Right.
On the 24th, and people can look it up and see it on the web or read the transcript. You were talking about Katrina in Louisiana, and this just really bothers me. She was interviewing people in a place called Renaissance Village. It's a trailer park for evacuees. And she said that as she was going around trying to speak to the evacuees, many of them were surprised because a organization called Corporate Security Solutions, that's the security, you know, where the security guards work or where they're from, were telling the residents that they could not speak to them, that they couldn't be interviewed. And they wanted Amy Goodman's crew to leave. And as they were leaving, one man said, "Hey, I want to talk to you." And he started to say, "This is a place of deception and lies. There's a famine. There's a shortage." And a security guard came over and told them to turn the cameras off. And he said that she said, "Well, he asked to be interviewed," and he said, "Yeah, well, he can't. That's not his privilege."
Yeah, that's pretty much standard drill. That doesn't surprise me at all. And let me tell you about these trailers they're supplying. They bought them at retail. FEMA paid retail price for them instead of going to the manufacturer, and they bought thousands and thousands of them at retail. I happen to know for a fact that these trailers are flawed. They're made by a manufacturer that has been committing insurance fraud, and I have a law firm out here in San Diego that is starting to go after them. And what they do, these trailers actually fall apart. So what we've got is we've got FEMA not only paying for the trailers that at retail instead of wholesale, but they're actually paying for trailers that leak and trailers that fall apart. So that's going to make one dandy lawsuit down the road, but lawsuits aren't the answer. We need to find a way to get these people housing. We need to find a way. And you know, we've got Sholene Espinoza out there on her own with her partner with a hammer and nails, and you know, she's trying to raise some money to build them a community center. So it's a disaster out there, and all we can do is continue to keep a spotlight on it and continue to keep reminding America that Katrina's not going away. And you know what? It's going to come back. We're a month away from, month and a half away from hurricane season again, Pam.
Well, and it sounds as though these individuals are not being respected as Americans with civil liberties. I'm getting such a very, very strange feeling about this whole thing.
No, they're not. I mean, what civil liberties? What, in American? Bush's America? In red
exactly.
America, civil liberties? I don't think so. That's one of the reasons we're out here.
Yes, well, I mean, people need to wake up completely and fully. I mean, we get a little bit too comfortable. We kind of go out and then kind of recede. I mean, the whole collective American public, people need to wake up to what's happening, because if they will detain people without charge, if they don't respect human rights with others, they're not going to respect it here. They've already shown that they don't respect our civil liberties. It doesn't matter if you're Republican or Democrat.
No, it doesn't, but the Republicans
don't get
that.
They just want utter power.
Yeah. Now, are you listening to us on an Air America affiliate in Phoenix? I know that you've had them bought up by the Christian Reich.
No. We had a resurrection here in Phoenix.
Good. Oh, that's
we were
excellent.
Revived.
That's excellent.
Yeah, we had our Dr. Mike Newcomb and his producer, Jeff Farias, really got the people together and the local sponsors and everybody, and it was a great thing. You'll have to look us up on the web and find out what happened on SaveAmericaPhoenix.com.
All right. Thanks a million for checking in with us. It's John Elliott sitting in for Mike Malloy on this Thursday night. It's the Air America Radio Network going on. You can listen to us on XM. You can listen to us on the World Wide Web, like the lady that called in from Sydney, Australia. 866-303-2270 if you want to talk to us. Have you noticed how the right is rallying around Rumsfeld, saying there are only six generals speaking out against him and calling for his resignation? Only six out of thousands, and these are retired generals anyway. Well, you know, like things the right are saying now, that itself is not true. As I was preparing for tonight's broadcast, I was thinking of guests that I really thought you'd like to hear from. And, you know, Chilene Espinosa, because of her cause and because of what's going on in the Gulf and the president going down there, and also because of my passionate love for Tom DeLay, I had to have Robert Greenwald on. I was also thinking you might like to hear from Michael Gordon. He's the chief military correspondent for the New York Times, and he wrote the book Cobra 2. I put a call into Michael, and I got a call back from him this morning, and he was in London. He was in L.A. yesterday, but he flew to London, and he appeared and gave a symposium today along with a couple of interviews, and I was talking to him about this specific point, and he said, oh, really? If they're trying to tell you that active duty, you're not criticizing Rumsfeld, all they have to do is go to Chapter 24 in my book. These guys have come out. They name names. They talk about the plan in Iraq. They talk about the war. They talk about everything, and they name names, and these are active duty military right now generals in Iraq criticizing the Bush administration and, of course, criticizing Rumsfeld. So there you have it. The book is Cobra 2. If you haven't read it, it's in its sixth week on the New York Times bestseller list, and it's the one that really started the avalanche and gave the generals courage to start coming out. It's John Elliott sitting in for Mike Malloy, and we're on the Air America Radio Network, 866-303-2270. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
You've got lawn weeds and crabgrass growing, well, like weeds. Until they're up against the science of Bayer Advanced All-in-One Weed Killer. All-in-One kills both lawn weeds plus crabgrass in one easy step without harming your lawn. Other leading brands take two products to finish the job. Got two types of weeds? Grab one simple solution and bring them back down to earth. Bayer Advanced All-in-One Weed Killer. Better science, better results.
Jen, what's up?
Hey, how'd you know I was having a party?
Everyone knows you're having a party.
Yeah, pretty crazy, isn't it?
Totally.
Hey, I'm going to smoke up. Want to get high? Here, you'll like this.
This is the moment your guidance can prevent your teen from smoking marijuana. So visit theantidrug.com and learn how to set clear rules about drugs. Parents, the anti-drug. Sponsored by the ONDCP and the Partnership for a Drug-Free America.
Yeah, I never back down. I don't let these bastards get to me. You shouldn't back down either. And don't let them tell you that you're not a patriot. Don't you dare let them tell you you're not a patriot. Don't let them hijack patriotism for the right. Here's my view of the military as a liberal, as a Democrat. We need a strong military. We need a military to protect America, to keep America free. What we don't need is a military to go out there, cross over oceans, and wage a war, and do a preemptive strike, and attack other countries. We, as Democrats, know that it's important to have a strong military. We also know that we appreciate the sacrifice that our military is making. What we don't appreciate is sacrificing our military. And speaking of sacrificing our military, as of today, there are 2,393 American deaths recorded in Iraq. 67 so far this month, and there's still 4 days to go. In fact, only 5 months of the last 14 have recorded more deaths. And what happens when the bodies of these men and women who died in the sand come home? Well, unless you're a family member, you don't get to see their flag-draped coffins, do you? You'll be denied the opportunity to honor them. However, at the funerals of dead American soldiers, there's a new horror for the families of those slain that they have to bear. There are protesters gathering at the funerals of American soldiers, and they are celebrating their violent death. Yeah, you heard me right. They're celebrating. Listen to this. As dozens of mourners streamed solemnly into a church to bury David Bass, corporal, fresh-faced 20-year-old Marine who was killed in Iraq, a small clutch of protesters stood across the street celebrating his death. Thank God for dead soldiers, read one of their placards. Thank God for IEDs, read another. To drive home their point is that God is killing soldiers to punish America for condoning homosexuality. They kicked around an American flag and shouted if someone approached that the dead soldiers were rotting in hell. And just who are these twisted vermin, these scum? Well, they're card-carrying members of the Christian Reich. Members of the Westboro Baptist Church in Topeka, one of these primitive religions. Topeka's in Kansas. Of course they're from Kansas. Thomas Frank's must-read book that I know you've read, What's the Matter with Kansas? Well, here's something the matter with Kansas. Remember last year the whacked-out Christian Reich members of the Kansas School Board and their quest to have intelligent design included in the school curriculum? Remember that? Forget about the Mexican border. I think we should build a 30-foot fence around the whole state of Kansas. Keep these lunatics in. Keep them away from the rest of us. It would have the dual purpose of preventing us sensible, intelligent Americans from setting foot in the place. Are there no rational human beings living there? If there are, why? Want more proof? Kansas crazies. Listen to this. I mean, listen closely. Kansas out-of-control Republican Attorney General, a guy by the name of Phil Klein, he's an anti-abortion zealot. He authored a legal opinion. They contended that a 24-year-old state law requiring doctors and teachers and others to alert the state and law enforcement about potential child abuse. He offered an opinion. Now, here's the purpose of the law. The purpose of the law is if a teacher sees obvious bruising and obvious attacking on a child, it's her duty to report it to the authorities that she thinks there's child abuse going on at home. Same thing with doctors. No sane person is going to be opposed to that, except Phil Klein is not sane. See, we on the surface can agree that's a good law. In Kansas, I'm finding there is always a however. And the however here, listen to this stretch. Under this law, Klein has declared that it covers, are you ready? Consensual sex between minors. He argued that the law applies to abortion clinics, aha, and they have to report any questions for abortion, any questions for about sex, any questions, any requests for the pill. Then he later extended it to cover other health professionals. And then doctors are involved, and pharmacists, and eventually teachers. Now, this twisted pony defines sex as touching and petting, in addition to intercourse. Now, I don't know about you, but I was 13 when kissing and hugging and being naughty with Sheila Enright in the balcony of the Runnymede Theater during a Saturday matinee, and this wild man wants that called child abuse? Are you kidding me? I don't think so. Sheila and I didn't think it was child abuse. This guy gives another answer to Thomas Frank's book, What's the Matter with Kansas? Well, it's clearly Attorney General Phil Klein. And just when you thought there was no sane, morally responsible adult left in Kansas, I'm very pleased to tell you there is at least one. His name is Thomas Martin, and he's a federal judge. and he handed Thomas Klein his ass. He ruled that abortion clinic doctors and other health professionals are not required under Kansas law to report underage sex between consenting youths. Thank God. What can we do? What can we do? There's just so much more I need to tell you. I need to talk to you about some very sad news that came out of West Virginia today. I'm going to be doing that when we come back. I'm going to be getting to your calls. There's just a ton of stuff that needs to be talked about, doesn't there? Isn't there? I want everybody to hang on the line. I'm trying to get to everybody. I don't know if I can. Oh, but this is Thursday, April 27th. And you know what Wednesday, April 25th was? It was Equal Pay Day. Because that's how far into the year the average woman must work to earn as much as a man earned by the end of the previous year. Isn't that a happy thought? Women still earn about 70% for the same pay for the same job that men do. It's John Elliott sitting in for Mike Malloy on the Air America Radio Network. 866-303-2270. We'll be right back.
And I'm taking my country back.
This is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Hey, True Seekers, Mike Malloy here. Are you as alarmed as I am by the assault on our freedoms by the religious right? An essential element of freedom is the right to choose or reject religious beliefs. And this is why I fully support the Freedom From Religion Foundation as it takes the lead in challenging the growing threat from the religious right in the United States. If you'd like further information on the dangers of living in a theocracy, please call 800-335-4021. 800-335-4021 or visit their website, ffrf.org.
Ooh, are you okay?
Oh, it's my arthritis pain.
Here, try my Aleve.
People with arthritis are sharing their good news about Aleve. Just two Aleve have the strength to stop arthritis pain all day. That would take 8 extra strength Tylenol. So try Aleve and see for yourself. Then share your good news. Comparison based on 24-hour label dosing. Use as directed for minor arthritis pain.
May is Arthritis Month. Join Aleve and the Arthritis Foundation for the annual Arthritis Walk taking place nationwide. For more information, visit AleveGoodNews.com.
Here it is, the first antidepressant that's absorbed through your eyeballs. It's Funny Times, the monthly journal of drop-dead funny cartoons and political humor. And right now you can try it for 3 months absolutely free. The Washington Post says, quote, Funny Times may be the best leftist magazine in America, unquote. With Garrison Keillor, Tom Tolles, Molly Ivins, and hundreds more, Funny Times is the highlight reel of funny. And now your first three issues are free. Call this number, 1-888-FUNNY-TIMES, or go to funnytimes.com. After three free issues, you can have the last laugh and say no thanks, but we bet you'll want to keep laughing and sign up for 12 months at just $23. That is a lot of funny for the money. Funny Times, risk-free. It'll be like seeing 100 funny shrinks every month. Call 1-888-FUNNY-TIMES or go to funnytimes.com.
John Elliott in for Mike Malloy on the Air America Radio Network. Thanks for joining us tonight, wherever you are in this country or around the world. Did you hear this? As you're worried about the rising price of gasoline, the Republican leaders have blocked a measure that would boost oil taxes on oil companies' profits. Now, we all know what Exxon did. They set the record for the most number of dollars earned by a company in U.S. history. And now what we've got is we've got the Republicans in the Senate wanting to block measures on boosting the taxes, provisions that, if passed, would raise about $5 billion. One of the provisions would change the accounting rules that apply to oil and storage. See, currently, oil companies are allowed to calculate the taxable value of their inventory based upon the value of the oldest stocks, when oil may have been worth $30 a barrel, for example. But much of the inventory had been pumped from the ground when oil was selling for more than double that. And, of course, this allows them to understate the value of the oil company's supplies purely to lower their tax payments. So it's an accounting issue. Why don't they pay taxes on the value of the oil for what it's worth? If you pay 10% tax, 10% on $30 a barrel versus 10% on $75 a barrel would raise a lot of money, wouldn't it? So I want you not only to remember when you go to the pump and you're paying $3 plus for gasoline, that the Republicans in Congress, this now, we're talking today, we're talking the 26th, 27th of April, 2006, the Republicans are blocking a measure that would increase taxes on the oil companies. In a semi-related story, a Senate committee announced an investigation into the taxes paid by the major oil companies and asked the IRS for industry tax records. What do you think that's going to do? We'd like to review the tax records of the 15 largest oil companies, please. Now what? Okay. They filled out, they pay taxes, now what? The point is they need to pay more in taxes. It's a windfall profit for them. We've already covered how their revenues go up the same rate that their profit goes up, so they're not suffering at all. That's the equivalent of you getting a raise to cover the cost of living. So if all of a sudden your rent goes up and the cost of food goes up and the cost of gas goes up, your paycheck goes up the same amount. But that's not happening to you, is it? Happens to the oil companies. They get to do what they want. This fossil fuel administration. They say that, you know, if this Boehner, the guy that replaced Tom DeLay, you know, I have to tell you, if you raise the taxes, I mean, they tried that in the 80s on windfall profits, and it just cut back on exploration. Exploration? Like we really need Exxon to start looking for oil in Zambia right now? We need alternative fuels. I talked to John Podesta, Clinton's former chief of staff. I talked to him last week. He said that 70% of the cars sold in Brazil last year and now run on ethanol, a biofuel. Only 10% of them in 2003. So they've gone from a 10%, one out of 10 cars running on biofuels in 2003, to 70% of the new cars being sold right now. This is in Brazil. They're cleaner, costs less, doesn't need the exploration, and we don't have to depend upon foreign power for oil. But God forbid we charge the oil companies a little bit more money to cut into their ability to explore for oil. A gentleman that's been on hold for a very long time is in Sacramento. His name is Ron. And, boy, you are a patient guy. Thanks very much. You're on the Mike Malloy radio program on Air America Radio Network with John Elliott. How are you this evening, Ron?
Okay, good. One positive thing, I think, John, is that, you know, the World Trade Center event in 2001, I've noticed the looniest conspiracy theory in the world is the official, you know, the government's official standardized swap on that, you know, the so-called, the tall tales of Taliban terror. And I've noticed that nobody in the world except for a few Republican Bush-winged zombies with a brain the size of a golf ball and the ilk of Limbaugh and Hannity and Medved, you know, who are all essentially bought and paid for government hoes and shills. Nobody believes that anymore. Nobody believes the baloney there. It's obvious an inside job, controlled demolition, you know, Building 7 went down, the Pentagon thing is a total hoax. The whole thing is just pure baloney, and the whole war on terror, 80% of it is just a big deep.
Let me tell you who doesn't want the war to end, Ron. The guy that doesn't want the war to end is running a big corporation. It's the guys that bribed Duke Cunning scam out here and gave him $2.5 million. Defense contractors like Brent Wilkes that actually got $6 million in a contract that was arranged for him by Duke Cunning scam. And of the $6 million, it cost him $800,000 for off the shelf stuff that he could have got at Circuit City. It's unbelievable. Jesse, San Diego, AM 1360. KLSD, one of our local listeners. How are you? Welcome to the Mike Malloy Radio Program on Air America Radio Network, nationwide and around the world.
Hey, John. Back, I think, the second top of the hour, there was a report about some from Israel that Iran just got some missiles from North Korea.
Yeah, they can reach Europe like they want to. Why?
But that could be almost as serious as an intelligent breakdown as a 9/11, because, you know, Korea's got, what, about 6-10 nuclear warheads over there?
Yeah, I think they've probably got more than
that. How do you know Iran doesn't have one of them?
Well, we don't, do we? But all
no,
indications
we
are that they don't. But it's actually, this came from Pakistan. There was a guy named Khan who was the guy that started to ship these components around the world. He sent some to Libya, to Gaddafi. He sent some to North Korea, and he sent some to Iran. And, of course, they all happened to change locations and were docked in Dubai, in the Dubai ports, which, of course, was in the news recently. So we don't really know what's going on over there. But I let me tell you, I had lunch about 2 months ago with the deputy ambassador to the United States, a gentleman by the name of Alan Charlton, just an enormously wonderful guy, career diplomat. And the topic of Hamas came up, and the topic of Hamas running Palestine, and then it morphed over to Iran. And he said, look, we really don't like Hamas. Hamas is a terrorist organization. But we also have to be very careful of the fact that we don't polarize and alienate the Palestinian people, because they need some aid. They need to keep some aid coming. And if we don't step in some fashion and negotiate this in a diplomatic way, they're going to start getting their money from Iran. And by the way, in Iran, then the question was raised, well, you know, we hear rumors that Bush is going to go in and start a war and that he's going to go in and nuke the place. And this was before Cy Hirsch came out with his story in The New Yorker. And he said, well, you know, if he does that, he goes alone. I mean, we have no interest. Europe has no interest. At this time, there's no coalition of the willing. If he wants to start a war, he's absolutely on his own. And I'm telling you, that would be a disaster for the world. I don't know how we're going to do it, but we have to do it from a diplomatic point of view. We have to deal with these people, and we have to find a way around.
Well, we don't have any diplomats with this group.
No, we don't.
They're all a bunch of, hell-bent on Armageddon, basically, and...
Well, they are. If you've read or looked at Kevin Phillips' latest book, American Theocracy, and we can't take Kevin Phillips lightly. Kevin is a person that I know. He is a Republican. He served in the Nixon administration. He wrote a book in 1968 or 69 called The Coming Republican Majority, where he predicted and laid out exactly how the Republicans would run the government in this country through to the end of the last century, which was true. He coined the phrase Sunbelt, describing, you know, from California through to Florida and through Texas and whatnot. And he has come out, and in American Theocracy, he is making three points. He is saying there are three issues that we have to deal with, and he absolutely hates the Bush administration. In fact, when we had dinner with him, one of our companions said, well, why do you hate the Bush administration? And his answer was, I don't hate them. I loathe them. You know, it was just,
yeah.
it was amazing. And he said, there's three things we got to worry about. One is the enormous debt, both the deficit, the federal deficit, the trade deficit, the amount of money that consumers are spending, and the amount of money that corporations are getting into debt. We used to be a country of manufacturing. We used to make products. Now all we do is move money. You know, you can look at the top companies in the country, and it's like the Morgan Stanleys and the Bank of Americas. We just move money around. The second thing that he said we have to worry about is the religious right, because the religious right are complete nutballs, and they are really crossing the boundaries of blending church and state, and they're having an enormous amount of undue influence on us. And the third thing, guess what? It's energy. It's oil. It's a fossil fuel administration that doesn't want to change, head in the sand, and continuing to deal with foreign countries. And he said, and from that evolves the pollution initiatives, and we continue to pollute, and the healthy forest initiatives and all these things. So his point was this. The reason, and this is the scariest thing, and I talked to Ambassador Joe Wilson. I said, have you read this book? He says, it's the scariest thing I've ever read. And the scary thing is that he is saying that 35% of the religious right believe that end times are going to happen in their lifetime. Consequently, they don't care about the debt. They don't care about the trade deficit. They don't care about owing on a mortgage, because they don't think they're ever going to have to pay it. They also don't care at all about fossil fuels. They don't care about polluting the atmosphere, and we're wondering whether or not, you know, you say to them, well, we want clean water to drink for our kids, we want clean air to breathe. It's like, what do we care? We're not going to be here. It's all going to end, so we don't have to worry about conservation. We don't have to worry about spending 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years to find an alternative fuel for us because we're not going to be here. This is frightening stuff.
Well, you know, those buffoons don't realize that all the end-timers before them missed it too, you know what I mean? So
yeah. Yeah, they did.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Tom DeLay shows up at the Knesset in Israel, and he says, I love you guys. And basically, what he was saying is, I love 100,000 of you, because that's what we're going to take and the rest of you. If you don't become Christians, I'm sorry, you're not going to come to our heaven and be lifted up without your clothes. Imagine seeing Tom DeLay without his clothes. I'd buy a ticket for that.
Yeah. Jesus, save us from your followers, huh?
Yeah, please. Jesse, yeah. Thanks a million for the call. I really appreciate it. It's John Elliott sitting in for Mike Malloy. This is the fastest 3 hours in the history of radio. I swear to goodness. You know, I'm just going along. I have a ton of calls to get to. I want to get to a bunch of stuff. I still got stuff. Zacharias Moussaoui. You know, and I want to come back to him because I've got something I want to throw at you that I don't think anybody's ever approached on this. So this is John Elliott. If you'd like to talk with us, 866-303-2270. Sitting in for the great Mike Malloy and appreciating every moment of being with you.
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Hi, I'm David Orrick. I was walking in the park and somebody stopped me and said, I'm tired of taping up the leaks in my old vacuum and then having to buy another one every 2 years. I'm going to buy an Orrick. Friends, why should manufacturers stop making throwaway vacuums when you keep buying them? For a vacuum that lasts and lasts, call 1-800-989-4200, 1-800-989-4200, and try an 8-pound Oreck XL risk-free for 30 days.
Thanks a lot for the ride home.
Hey, no problem. Just because you're a sophomore doesn't mean I can't talk to you.
Thanks.
Hey, while you're here, want to take a hit of some weed? Some good stuff. Here you go.
This is the moment your guidance can prevent your teen from smoking marijuana. So visit theantidrug.com and learn how to set clear rules about drugs. Parents, the anti-drug.
Paid for by Office of National Drug Control Policy.
Where does this time go? John Elliott sitting in for Mike Malloy on Air America. I told you a little while ago I wanted to talk to you about the sad news that came out of West Virginia today. Remember the Sago Mine disaster back in January where 12 men died and just one survived? Remember how the families were all gathered at one of the churches and the joyous news spread that all 13 trapped underground were brought to the surface and they were all alive and safe? And then it took the mine operator 3 hours to tell the friends and relatives that the information wasn't true. The 12 were dead and only one survived. Well, today, a letter. The sole survivor wrote to the families while he was underground. It's a letter he wrote to, actually yesterday, and he wrote it to them, to the families. And in his letter, he said that four of the air packs given to the miners in the event of a disaster, which happened, didn't work. Now, you've heard the stories that the mine's operator had been cited for multiple violations of mining safety, and he's going to be held accountable in the courts, but the bigger problem here is in the Bush administration, the Fossil Fuel Administration. They relaxed the mine safety regulations. They put an ex-mining executive in charge of the regulations and then started to cut them and ease them. Please. Remember just a month or two after the news broke that 40 miners were trapped in a mine disaster in Saskatchewan and that all 40 were rescued with a few minor injuries? Well, it turns out that the Canadian mining safety regulations are stronger, and they happen to be enforced, and they put the safety of the miners before the pursuit of profits. Now, hey, I'm a capitalist, and I realize that corporations need to make a profit, but not at the expense of human life. Each mine in Canada must have safe rooms. They're strategically located at various levels and depths throughout the mine, and each safe room has a supply of electrical power and fresh air and communications equipment, lights, food and water for a minimum of 3 days, and they're tested and maintained current and in working order. And that's where the Saskatchewan miners went and waited to be rescued, and all 40 made it out safely. But just a few days after the Sago mine disaster, another mine disaster causing the deaths of miners occurred, also in West Virginia. Yeah, I'm reminded of John Denver's song, you know, Rocky Mountain High, a type of John Denver. But when he did the West Virginia song about, he said, almost heaven, West Virginia. It must mean that if you're a coal miner, miner in West Virginia, you're just a little closer to it than the rest of us. Ray, Tucson. You want to talk about gas prices? You're on the Mike Malloy radio program with John Elliott on Air America. How are you, Ray?
Yes, hi. How are you doing?
I'm fine. Thanks for waiting.
Yeah, no problem. I just want to make a couple of comments. You know,
go ahead.
This Republican Congress put President Clinton under oath to testify for sex with Monica Lewinsky. Why can't they put this oil executive barons under oath so they can testify, find out what the hell is going on with the price of gas?
For one very simple reason. We don't have control of the House. We don't have subpoena power. At the point in time that the Republicans did that, that was after the 94 elections when the Republicans took control of the House of Representatives with Newt Gingrich. Consequently, they had the right to head up the committees, and those committees had the right to subpoena power, and those were the ones that actually got out there and started to create that nonsense of impeaching Clinton. I can assure you that if we gain control of the House, which we should this time, that we will head up the committees, and when we head up the committees, those committees will have subpoena power, and those committees having subpoena power will be able to pull in the executives of the oil companies, they'll be able to pull in the members of the Fossil Fuel Administration, they'll be able to pull in the people from Halliburton and from Brown and Root and all the war profiteers that have been taking advantage of taking our money. They'll be able to pull in the people from Parsons and Company, a huge American construction company that got $200 million of your money and my money to go into Iraq and to build 142 health clinics, and are walking away, absolutely just walking away, and the most that will be built is 20. Meanwhile, they've taken the money, and the health clinics are not there. There's only going to be 20 out of 142. That's what's going to happen. We got to get control of the House. Once we get control of the House, make this thing happen.
I know. I agree with you 100%. I'm a hardcore Democrat, and everywhere I go, I talk about the gas prices. I'm trying to encourage people to register vote Democrat. You know, this is a crucial election. What we have to do, we have to take away our time away from this stupid show like American Idol and find out what the hell is going on in this country. It's absolutely ridiculous. I mean, it's absolutely, because the whore media we have, our whole media, they're not here to educate the American public. They're here to dumb down the American public so people don't pay attention to what's going on.
Well,
I mean,
of course
I see this Republican congressman, he's blaming the Democrats because we cannot explore, the Democrats prevent them to explore in Anwar region.
Well, yeah. That Maria Cantwell is the senator from Washington State, and she is the leader on that, and she's fighting the good fight to keep the Anwar safe for the Caribou.
No, I know. The whole thing is irrelevant. We stole the second largest oil reserve, happened to be Iraq, and then they're complaining about Anwar region. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Well, you might enjoy this. The Senate has voted to shift funds from the war in Iraq, and that's the Iraqi war, to border security now. So now they're going to take money away from Iraq and put it up for border security. Hey, man, thanks very much for the call. I really appreciate it. I have to tell you that I have had a blast. This is the fastest 3 hours of my life and the fastest 3 hours of Gregory's life, too, our associate producer who is in there nodding. I have many people to thank. I want to thank Nathan, our web wizard, who's been manning the chat room for us on johnelliottshow.com. And you can visit Nathan. He's, you know, if you want the news, you got to keep on top of the news. And people have talked about how do you learn. Well, you go to powersandmorrison.com, and you can instantly access CNN, the BBC, the CBC, the New York Times, the Washington Post. You can get the newspapers all in one size. It's sort of the Google of the Internet. Just political news, you know. Justin and Jason, our wonderful engineers back at Air America in New York that have been working with me the first time here, and I really appreciate it. Dee, call coordinator, extraordinaire, doing a great job. John Sinton and Amy Winslow at Air America, thank you, guys. I appreciate the opportunity. Kathy Bay, producer of the Mike Malloy Show, and, of course, the one and only Mike Malloy, who will be in Sacramento on Saturday night moderating a panel on impeachment co-sponsored by the Air America affiliate there. That's KCTC 1320 AM. And, of course, the Progressive Caucus of the California Democratic Party. Those festivities start around 8 p.m. And thank you, Mike, both for your kind words during your shows this week about me and also for the last 3 hours. I do appreciate the opportunity. This weekend, both days, I am on noon to 2 here in California on KLSD. Guests will be Enrique Morones, president of the board, or Angels talking about the big events coming up on May 1st. Mark Hosenball, Newsweek magazine's award-winning investigative reporter on stories about next week's Newsweek, and it's going to be on CIA's Mary McCarthy, the lady that was fired by the CIA. Porter Goss looking for a body to throw out there and say this was the woman that spread the news that they were maintaining some corporate or some CIA terror prison camps in Eastern Europe. It's a pretty hot story. And then Jennifer Palmieri, Vice President of Communications for the Center for American Progress, talking about Karl Rove. Didn't get a chance to talk about Karl Rove. Didn't get a chance to talk about Tony Snow. Didn't get a chance to talk about Zacharias Moussaoui. There's just way too much going on. Mike does it. He does it better than anybody. And thanks very much for listening, especially to our listeners. I really appreciate the opportunity. Good night and God bless.
You've been treating my stars and stripes. You took our jobs and sent them overseas.
Whether you have health insurance or not, chances are you don't have dental or vision coverage. But now, with the Optimum Health Discount Card, you and your family can get substantial savings of up to 60% off every time you visit your dentist or eye care professional. Because this is not insurance, everyone is accepted, even if you or your family members have pre-existing conditions. For only $9.95 a month, you, your spouse, and your children are all covered. Your membership includes access to our combined nationwide network of over 75,000 participating dentists and eye care professionals. Call right now and we'll also include for free the RX Saver discount prescription card. The RX Saver is accepted in most pharmacies nationwide and provides savings of up to 60% off most medications. Call our toll-free number now at 1-866-333-3000. That's 1-866-333-3000. Use the Optimum Health Discount Card risk-free for 30 days and start saving now on all of your dental and vision care needs. Call 1-866-333-3000. Again, 1-866-333-3000.